about. You gotta put it in perspective.
Okay, guys.
Yeah.
Let's take a moment right now.
Yeah, we'll take a quick moment and then we'll move on.
No, let's take a full moment.
In silence, or can we?
Moment's usually silent, so a moment starts when you shut up.
And do we close our eyes?
I don't think you need to. It's not really a prayer. Okay. It's more a moment.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
It's weird to see people jump from I'm not positive what the answer is to it must be, you know, infallible word of God, or, you know, in terrorist, you know, situations or UFOs. You go, it's unidentified, so it must be alien. You go, no, it's just maybe a question that we'll never know the answer to.
I was listening to Kevin's moment with, and it started to make sense. That's when I realized I have a drinking problem.
And now,
this is boring.
Just give it a chance.
Nothing's happening.
It just started.
Our feature presentation.
Welcome in, ladies and gentlemen, to yet another all-new Kevin and Bean show, this time for a Thursday morning, the 31st of March, 2016. Hey, Ellen McKay.
Hey, Bean, how are you?
How's that new conditioner working out for you?
The things
we have to endure.
I'm going home.
Come I don't
on,
believe you, Chip.
Nope. I got a new shampoo and conditioner, and when you use the same shampoo and conditioner for a long time,
care.
It's like a different smell and texture.
But why would you bring
different.
That up? Why is that workplace conversation? I always bring topics to the table that are relevant and interesting to everybody.
Please.
That's what I'm about, is I think about what would my audience want to hear. But you, just whatever thought is going through your mind has to be verbalized out loud.
I just said it randomly. You weren't supposed
right, but why,
to care.
What
we
part,
didn't.
What part
sure,
of
I
used
bit.
A different shampoo and conditioner did you think would land with the audience?
The audience? The audience
yes,
being
the,
you?
And Chip? Yeah, yes. Those of us who were subjected to your remarks. What did you think our reaction to that was going to be? Is tell us more?
Yeah,
oh my
hey.
God, I feel your pain.
Oh my gosh,
what?
Allie, why'd you switch shampoo?
Are you okay? I mean, what did you want to...
Have you heard you should switch, or why? Yeah, I thought we'd chat about... Oh, is there someone calling?
All the phones are ringing. Nothing we can do about that. Someone's calling. Anyway, it is Thursday, and happy... I don't know if this is a type of holiday that you say happy to, but happy Cesar Chavez Day if you're one of the lucky people who gets a day off. I guess that's a lot of state employees and courthouses and some schools and stuff. I don't think we have any state-only holidays, you know, our state-only holidays in Washington that I can think of. But there are a bunch of states. Doesn't Massachusetts have like a Founders Day or some state holiday, Allie?
Sure.
Okay. There are some states who have holidays that are unique to that state. And I think Cesar Chavez is one that's unique to California, and that's happening today.
Okay.
So I gave some thought yesterday to – we had a new message from the president of CBS about how they're going to sell all the stations.
Mm-hmm.
And there's, you know, because we have to unlock the value for CBS shareholders.
Sure.
And there was some talk of they might spin off the CBS radio. And by the way, I bring this up because I get a lot of questions from the audience who are concerned that somebody's going to pull the plug on K-Rock, which I don't think is going to happen anytime soon. But it's certainly possible if we get sold to a new owner. Anyway, so there was talk about how they might just spin off the radio division separate from television. And it might stay about the same as it is, or they still could sell it to another radio group who could come in, and then it's time for Musica, 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 which is, you know, what we all are expecting to come down. So I started thinking about what kinds of skills would I have to get another job? You know, I haven't had to get another job for a long time. I assume I could get a job in radio somewhere, right?
I bet, sure.
I would hope, you know, that my track record would speak for itself. But it's been so long since I've had to interview for a job that I fear I would be terrible at it.
Oh, no, you would be.
I mean, you went through an interview process a year and a half ago.
Right.
So you have your skills, you know, polished, and
yes.
You have the right answers to the right questions. And these days, I understand that when you are being interviewed, they always ask you tough questions. It's not just what have you done. It's they ask you, how would you do this? And they throw things at you because
mm-hmm.
they want to see how you think on your feet
mm-hmm.
and whatnot. And I found this article that I thought was very interesting about recent interview questions for various jobs in America. These are relatively current interview questions. For instance, if you are being interviewed at Whole Foods, they recently have asked this question, and you've seen this on the internet, but maybe you don't have an answer prepared. Would you rather fight one horse-sized duck or 100 duck-sized horses? I mean, that's a question that your future boss might throw at you from across the desk, and now you're on the spot because you got to come up with an answer for that. At SpaceX, this is the private company that's sending rockets into space. When a hot dog expands, in which direction does it split and why? Okay, now maybe that's an appropriate question because it's a math job and a physics job and you need to know stuff like that. I would fail that question. At Dropbox, this question is on their list. If you're the CEO, what are the first three things you check about the business when you wake up? Again, I would be out. At Urban Outfitters, here's an actual interview question if you apply for a job there. What would the name of your debut album be? At JW Business Acquisitions, how would you sell hot cocoa in Florida? At HubSpot, if I gave you $40,000 to start a business, what would you start? I mean, this is, again, this isn't an essay where you've got the night to think about it and write it. This is, they throw this at you, and they want to see how quick you are on your feet. Mm-hmm. At Trader Joe's, what would you do if you found a penguin in the freezer?
Oh, yay!
I'd take him home. That
Absolutely.
Would I know.
Absolutely. How exciting.
I would smuggle him out under my coat. No one would ever know about that penguin, that's for sure. Boston Consulting Group, interview question. If you were a brand, what would be your motto? Delta Airlines, how many basketballs would fit in this room?
What was that for? Delta?
Delta.
Okay, come on.
What do you suppose that question means? What do you think they're going for there? Is the I mean
like a spatial question? Can you I don't know. That doesn't
I don't know either.
Make sense.
Because even if you end up working for Delta Airlines, your job is not transporting basketballs. I don't see how that's useful.
I don't think so.
And finally at Uniqlo Management, if you had $2,000, how would you double it in 24 hours? Is a question. Look, if I knew how to do that, I wouldn't be applying for
exactly.
a job with you.
this is horrible.
I would just fold it, by the way. That's how I would double it. I would be out on almost all of these questions, and I guess it's time to start doing some brain exercises or something like that to get prepared.
But just the chit-chat with the person.
Yeah.
I think right there they'd be like, who is this guy? You'd be like, can we get to the questions, the hard ones? Go.
I studied.
Yeah, I'm nervous for you.
And then you'd be bringing up the conditioner, and then you'd lose that opportunity.
Well, I wouldn't have to. They'd be like, God, your hair smells terrific. And I'd be like, I know, it's no conditioner.
Well, let's all keep this in mind in the event that we don't make the cut for Musica, Musica, Musica. We may be having to answer some of those questions ourselves. All right, let's talk about today's all-new Kevin DeBee show, shall we?
The answer is that there has to be some form of punishment.
Well, the form of punishment is the next 4.5 hours here on K-Rock. We do have a brand-new internet roundup for you today. That's coming up in just a few minutes. Got some great stuff for you this week. Also, there's been a lot of controversy about what should be the state song for New Jersey. This is a discussion that's been going on for decades. They don't have a state song, and there are lots of people who think they should have a state song, and it's been quite an interesting battle. We're going to talk about Good Samaritans on the program today. If you have ever been the recipient of a Good Samaritan's good gesture, or if you have been the one who's provided the goodness, that makes you a Samaritan. We'll talk to you about that. Also, our good friend Andrew Siciliano is going to be on the program today. I know it's not football season. He's usually our go-to football guy. But his little Syracuse Orangemen are in the Final Four, and he cannot contain himself.
Yeah,
he
it's needs a pretty exciting
he,
time.
He needs an outlet for his I don't blame him, by the way. I was pretty excited my little Maryland Terrapins were in the Sweet 16.
I was pretty excited when it looked like Boston College was going to win a game this season. So I get it.
Oh. We do have more tickets for you for this Saturday night's Kevin DeBee and April Foolishes at the Shrine up close in the That's My John section. We got those for you. Also, Dr. Drew Pinsky on the program today with his weekly Thursday visit. And just for you, Allie, we have lined up all the time you need for your new best friend in the whole wide world, Dr. Sandra Lee. She is a Southern California dermatologist who has a popular YouTube channel. She is known as Dr. Pimple Popper.
I'm going to go.
And I'm sure you have a ton of questions about the most effective way to remove infected blackheads.
Nope.
Right?
Not one. Don't care. Gross.
So, Dr. Pimple Popper.
Nope.
That's coming up along with Ralph Showbiz Beat right after this on K-Rock. Hey, it's the Kevin and Bean Show on 106.7 KROQ. Thanks so much for tuning in. Late in the program yesterday, we had the band and the person, Lucas Graham, stop by, all the way from Denmark. They were delightful, weren't they, Allie?
They were lovely gents. I wasn't prepared. I wanted to hate them.
Why did you want to hate them?
I don't know. Young and talented, has a hit song.
Right. Anyway, they were super fun. And
they were delightful and lovely gents. That's what now this show has become. That's what we're down to.
Yeah.
Now it's a sitting room in a home somewhere, eating Ritz crackers with squeeze cheese on it.
Oh, do we have?
I enjoyed speaking with them very much. Is what I'm saying.
They were delightful. They were lovely gents. Could you please pass the Grey Poupon?
I don't know where you are, but Allie and I are sitting over here in the parlor trying to have a conversation like humans.
Goodness.
All right? Anyway, if you missed it, and you probably did if you're listening right now, we do have that for you coming up just after 6. First, though, how about Ralph Garman and the Showbiz Beat? What's new? What's happening?
How about me? Well, how would you like to be on television? That's right. NBC, of course, is doing another one of its famous live Broadway musicals. And they've just announced they have opened their auditions for the lead role in Hairspray. Tracy
Yay!
Turnblad. You got to be 18 years of age. And you got to come ready to sing the show's big smash hit opening number. Good morning, Baltimore.
Oh, yeah. That was Ricky Lake in the movie, right?
Nope.
So?
Ricky Lake was...
Somebody else in Hairspray.
Ricky Lake was the original... Tracy in the John Waters film that the musical was based on.
Yeah,
that's what I was thinking of.
Yeah.
Right. Okay. But then they made a movie based on the Broadway musical.
That's right.
With John Travolta and Michelle Pfeiffer and an unknown young girl who played Tracy. Nikki Blonsky.
Nikki, yeah, because she played Tracy.
Right. And she was terrific in it. So they're looking for another unknown female of high school age. It's got to be heavy set, which is nice in show business to say you have to be a big girl in order to get the lead in something.
Finally.
Which is very different. And so go on down there. Go on down there to West 43rd Street in New York City.
Well, for a New York
Where's Johnny New York?
Johnny Brooklyn.
Johnny New York didn't come in with the details?
No, he didn't. No. If you know someone actually in New York, or you maybe, look, maybe you're so driven, local actor. That you're saying, you know what, I'm going to get on a plane, and April 24th, I'm going to go.
Because I am right for this job, and it is destiny,
and I could be a star. So April 24th is when it's happening in New York City. If you have any questions or anything that you need to know, you can send them an email at hairsprayopencall@gmail.com. But it's all over the internet.
So. By the way, Ralph, when Johnny Chicago came in a couple of weeks ago and gave us the details for that casting call in Chicago for the Dick Wolf shows, we heard almost immediately from a listener who is an aspiring actor who was listening to the program, streaming it in Chicago.
Well, there you go.
So it is possible that the message has met the ears.
So we could have a young Tracy Turnblad wannabe in New York who's listening to us on the podcast or via the interwebs?
Absolutely.
All right. So there you go. April 24th, 315 West 43rd Street, New York City. That's what's happening. Hairsprayopencall@gmail.com. You can send them an email for more details. There, I've done my good deed. And if you become a big star, help a brother out, will you? Because we're going to be sold, and we're going to be playing Latin music here.
Yeah, musica, musica, musica is happening.
Musica, musica, musica.
My friend Steve Kazee is going to be on the show as well. He's the male lead.
He's the male lead of Hairspray.
Exciting.
Steve Kazee gets all the jobs all the time.
The new Nancy Drew show. Also on Nashville right now.
Stop.
Great guy.
We're not serious when we ask about him.
Oh, really?
Yeah. What do you do to your hair, by the way? That's different.
Thank you. It's a new shampoo and conditioner. Thanks for noticing, Ralph.
Hey, you know, supermodels, stop the knock on supermodels. Oh, they're just pretty and they're dumb and they're beautiful to look at, but they got nothing else to offer. Stop that. Stop supermodel shaming.
I don't get the reference, mainly because I'm pretty and I work out.
See? Like that. How about Carly Kloss? How about Carly Kloss? Who not only is a wildly successful supermodel for Victoria's Secret et al., but she's also a very accomplished computer coder.
Really?
Oh. Yes. She has mad coding skills.
Exciting.
It is exciting. Also, what's exciting is that she is holding three camps this summer for young women who have interests in computer coding.
Oh, Carly Kloss.
Women who are interested, young girls 13 to 18, who are interested in computer sciences and coding, can attend a Code with Carly camp.
All K's?
Yep. Except in with, because there's no
right.
K sounded with. But code
the
with
code
a K.
The Code with Carly camp
Carly
could
with
be,
a K.
Could, I fear they're going to abbreviate that, though. And we're going to be dealing with another KKK situation here.
Where would the third K come from in Coding with Carly?
Camp. You said it was all K's, right?
Code with Carly is the name of the
okay.
the event, yeah. It's happening in New York, Los Angeles, and St. Louis. So this one actually is relevant to our city. New York, okay. Los Angeles, and St. Louis.
Is this showbiz or a job fair? What's happening here today?
Well, Carly Kloss is a supermodel, and she's part yeah. of that whore that you like, part of her...
She's part of the Taylor Swift squad, yeah.
Squad. So that's showbiz, mm-hmm. I would think. And also, if there's any girls 13 or 18 out there who would like to attend a camp and learn some coding skills, you can do that.
I appreciate that. Thank you, Ralph.
Yeah. So, there you go. Let's take a look at today's celebrity birthdays. Actress Jessica Shore is 31 years old today. Jack Antonoff from Fun in the Bleachers is 32. Kate McCucci from Garfunkel and Oates, 36. Ewan McGregor. He's 45.
Allie, we've had Mr. McGregor in a couple of times in the past, and yeah. he is so fun and so nice and so smart and so talented. We just love him.
I got to sweat with him a bunch.
I'm sorry?
The two of us were just so sweaty together.
Go on.
Because he did a little cameo in A Million Ways to Die in the West, mm-hmm. the movie I did with Seth MacFarlane. And so in his cameo, there was a bunch of us at this fair that's happening in town, and we were standing next to each other. We were shooting next to each other but for the entire afternoon, and he just dropped by to visit the set. And Seth's like, hey, why don't we put you in cowboy clothes and you can be part of the movie? He's like, yeah, that sounds like fun. So they dressed him up in leather chaps and everything. Meanwhile, we're in the desert in Santa Fe, New Mexico, and it's about 4 billion degrees out. And he's sweating and he's sweating and he's sweating. And I said, this is the last time you'll ever do a favor for anyone, isn't it? And he goes, you're absolutely right. He's 45 today. Angus Young is 61 years old. AC/DC star, of course. Al Gore is 68. And Christopher Walken. Ow! Can't believe I'm 73. So old. I'm going to die. Damn. I hate it. He's 73 today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Congratulations to George Medina, listening to the Kevin and Bean Show this morning all the way out in Riverside. He just won his way into the Lumineers, not only at the Hollywood Bowl on October 5th, but here at K-Rock on Monday, where they'll be performing live in the Red Bull Sound Space at K-Rock. That is going to be fun. We got more chances for you to win coming up in minutes. Hey, Dave Sanchez, King of Mexico, our producer.
Good morning.
How are you, son?
I am well. How are you guys?
The internet is your favorite place in the world, right?
I live there.
I know you do.
Yeah.
That's why Dave is the guy who puts together the best videos of the week that you can see at krock.com or kevinandbean.com. It's time for a brand new Kevin and Bean Internet Roundup.
It's the Internet Roundup, baby. All the videos you want to see. You look like you want some fun. Come on, turn your computer on. Watch out, here it comes. Internet Roundup, baby. Roundup. It's the Internet Roundup. Roundup.
Ow! What is with the spate of videos recently where people put their mouths on either other people or their pets, Dave? What's that about, and why do I find it so creepy?
I don't know, but it's funny. I enjoy it.
We have a couple of them in the roundup for you this week. We'll play audio from this one. This is called Woof, and this is basically just dogs with people's mouths saying doggy things. This will give you an idea of it.
What have you done to me? My butt feels weird!
Am I a cat?
I'm a dog, Barf!
Hey.
But Allie, your thoughts?
The mouths are so big!
I mean...
Why is that a thing, though?
I don't know. At all.
Yeah, Dave, you can keep saying woof and moving your mouth, but you're a human. And it's, neither it dogs. Doesn't matter.
Trailer Mix is a great site where they take movies, they take scenes from movies, and they recut it as other movies. Like they'll take an action movie and turn it into a rom-com, for instance. Well, this week's is really funny because they took the movie Jurassic Park, which, you know, is a terrifying movie where dinosaurs try to kill people, and they have recut it and re-narrated it as a delightful nature documentary. Check it out, for instance. Here they are talking about one of the tiny little dinosaurs running around.
Meet Little Tail. Be there for her birth. Watch as she takes her first steps. And follow her journey as she discovers the world.
See, that's not what Jurassic Park is about at all, but it sure looks like it was the raptors. Nature documentary. That was pretty good. There's nothing more terrifying for a teenager than out having fun with your friends and your parents show up. We all know that. Well, that's what happened to this teenage daughter. She's at a school dance, and her mom and dad decided to stop
it's
in on
so
her
good.
At the gym and see how the dance is going. And her reaction – now, again, she's not being stabbed to death, okay? This is her reaction when her parents show up at the dance. Check it out. It sounds like a murder scene. These are the folks that you said goodbye to an hour ago at home. They're not going to hurt you.
But they asked to chaperone the dance, and she's like, absolutely not.
Right.
And they show up with a video camera. They are straight up evil, and I love them so much.
All she wanted
it is
to do
pretty
was
hilarious.
Dance.
Right?
Yeah. Oh.
Dave, what's the deal with the MCU supercuts? What's their whole thing? Did they just take all of the trailers for a movie and put them together into one mega trailer? Is that what I'm looking at
here? Well, it's kind of like it's leading up to Marvel's Captain America Civil War.
Mm-hmm.
So this YouTube channel, MCU, they put it all together. So now it's one long trailer just to get you, including some of the Civil War trailer, to get you ready and catch you up on what's going on in the Marvel Cinematic Universe.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy. It's like 7 minutes of Marvel. It's called The Road to Civil War. Here it is.
A hostile alien army came charging through a hole in space. We're standing 300 feet below it.
You experience things. Then they're over and you still can't explain them. Gods, aliens, other dimensions. I'm just a mannequin.
I feel like I'd seen the movie at the end of the thing, by the way. And it's not even out yet. Speaking of superhero movies, as you know, Batman is big right now at the box office. And this guy decided to do an Uber prank where he, instead of showing up with, you know, what the passenger thinks is going to be, for instance, in a Prius, he shows up in a Lamborghini and he is all decked out as Batman. So imagine the reaction of the people who called for an Uber and, you know, essentially the Batmobile shows up. Here's one of them.
You just called an Uber? I'm your Uber driver.
I'm Batman. Nice to meet you.
Is this for real? I was expecting a Prius.
Well, this is my Prius.
I don't think anyone's going to believe me.
Now, Allie, I know that you're always afraid of being murdered anytime you encounter other humans. Would you get into a car if a Lamborghini shows up with a guy dressed as Batman behind the wheel?
If he matched the description on my Uber app, yes.
You would accept it as legit.
Yes.
I got to give kudos to Johnny Batman, though. I mean, he pulled this off.
Johnny
Our
Batman.
Our own Johnny Batman.
Nope.
No, it wasn't him.
No, he was swimming, unfortunately.
Yeah, he didn't drive that day. Planet Snoop is a continuing series of the dog father himself, Snoop Dogg, doing narration on nature videos, and no one is better. And this time, and by the way, Dave had to talk me into watching this because I hate videos where animals hurt other animals, but no one gets hurt, no one gets killed in this one. It has a fairly peaceful ending. But this is a squirrel versus snake, as called by Snoop Dogg.
A squirrel beat a snake? Man, he rocked him. He's trying to get out of there, huh?
That little squirrel took it down.
He sure did. That squirrel belongs to a gang. That ain't Alvin Simon or Theodore.
I don't know why we need a laugh track from a 90s sitcom over this. It's funny enough without it, but check it out. Look, anyone who's ever been into broadcasting for a length of time has at one time or another sneezed on the air. I certainly have, and have been made fun of plenty of times for it. This is a supercut of lots of people on TV, mostly, you know, news anchors and reporters, who they just can't resist the urge to sneeze, even though they're on camera. It's pretty funny.
William Shatner in one of the challenges. Are you okay?
Are you okay?
Sorry. Hey, that was me at the end. Wait a
You're
second.
The
what
best.
Happened?
The best.
Steve Hotstetter is a name you know if you know comedy. He is a very funny stand-up comedian who, as will happen to anyone on stage one time or another, is going to get attacked by a heckler. Now, Allie, you you saw this clip, and I know you loved it so much. What was the problem that the member of the audience had?
Well, he was talking about kids not being special and being a good parent and whatnot. And a woman took offense to him, and he decimated her over and over and over. And she wasn't getting it. And it's
yeah,
so
she
good.
She got pretty well served. And if you're an audience member, let the guy on stage have the commentary. Let him do the comedy, I guess is what I'm saying. You'll see what I mean here.
You can't just say, well, you haven't had any kids, so you don't know anything about kids. Because here's the thing. I've never flown a helicopter. If I saw one in a tree, I could still be like, dude,
it
very
gets
funny.
So good with an
yeah,
NFL
worth watching the whole
analogy.
Thing.
It's amazing.
Pizza.
Last week, tonight with John Oliver, one of our favorite shows, Sunday nights on HBO. They were off last week, but they did put up a web exclusive. And this is great because you actually see a conspiracy theory being born between your in front of your eyes. And we're going to find out how milk chocolate is actually a creation of the Illuminati. Here you go.
Oh, are you talking about why they aren't available year-round? Then they have already gotten to you. Turn this off now. You're a tool of the establishment, and you're too far gone to wake up. The rest of you, open your eyes, America. The Cadbury Cream Egg is a terrible candy that tastes like mermaid placenta covered in candle wax. And yet...
John Oliver is so great. And finally, on this week's edition of the Kevin Bean Internet Roundup, our old friends at Honest Trailers are back. We've been looking forward to this one for a long time. What are they going to have to say about Leonardo DiCaprio's The Revenant?
Prepare for two powerhouse performances you won't be able to understand as Leo shows his full range of emotional grunting. While Tom Hardy mumbles about pelts.
We're not doing no 15 pelt fails. We're doing 30 pelt fails.
You already lost my share of pelts.
Them pelts we collected, they're still out there.
Pelts!
That movie sounds good, right? Go to KROQ.com, see all the videos this week on the Kevin and Bean Internet Roundup.
It's the Internet Roundup,
We'll talk sports with the great Andrew Siciliano later this morning here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Also, Dr. Pimple Popper herself, Allie, will be here in less than 2 hours from right now. Dr. Sandra Lee, I know you can't wait, and Dr. Drew. A lot of doctors on the show today. Is there a California state song? Is there an official song that has been designated as the state song for California?
Are you serious?
No, I don't know.
I love you, California. You're the greatest state of all. It's the best commercial ever.
Well, it does sound like a good song. There's another state that's in the news right now because for more than 50 years, they have been arguing and refusing to settle on a state song in the great state of New Jersey. A man died last year at the age of 92 years old named Red Mascara, and he wrote a song called I'm from New Jersey or I like New Jersey or something like that.
I'm from New Jersey.
Thank you. And he petitioned every year to the state legislature to try to have that made as a state song, and he could get nowhere. Well, now he's dead, and I don't know if now, out of sympathy, they're going to give it to his family or something like that and make that the state song. But there are lots of other people who say, hey, there are lots of great songs about New Jersey. There's a guy named Patrick Finley who has a song called New Jersey, My Home. There's another one called In New Jersey. There's a song called New Jersey, USA by a man named Nelson Trout. So there are a lot of songs about the great state of New Jersey. None of them are the state song yet. Mm-hmm. And I have this question to ask. When Bruce Springsteen is still alive, why are you not talking to him about the state song of New Jersey?
Crazy.
I got to say, next to Frank Sinatra, Bruce Springsteen's got to be the most famous and popular musician that ever came out of that state. Well, it seems like he's a treasure.
Well, thank you, but I don't think they run everything in the state past me. You know, I'm not the governor.
But you're the boss, though.
Well, some people say that. Yeah.
Well, you are, Bruce. So I thought of you instantly when I saw that they were at a deadlock there in the state legislature. I'm just wondering, is that the type of thing? I mean, you don't use your music for commercials or anything like that, but, you know, for the state that you love, would you be willing to consider a song for New Jersey?
Well, a lot of my critics would say there are some of my songs already that are sort of all about New Jersey. I do mention it quite a bit. Mm-hmm. And absolutely, I'd love to be in the mix and maybe come up with an idea or two for a song that would be the Jersey State song. I think it'd be great.
It would be great. What about like Born to Run? I mean, that's a song that's people say Born to Run, they think Springsteen, they think Jersey. It's an anthem. It's a rock classic. It's a song that people love and will love for 1,000 years, boss.
Well, thanks, man. But I don't think I'd take one of my existing songs and sort of hand it over to the state. I'd like to come up with something original, something that sums up my feelings about growing up in Jersey and mm-hmm. what the state has meant to me over the years.
Yeah,
and I've got a couple I've been playing with over the years, just sort of Jersey anthems that maybe one of those might be right for it.
Any chance
would you
we
mind?
Can hear?
Yeah, could you share some of that with us? We'd love to hear what you're talking about.
Sure, yeah, man. You know, I remember growing up in Jersey. Mm-hmm. My dad had an old '57 Chevy Bel Air, and I would get behind the wheel of that car and draw back on a bottle of cold beer and just cruise at night back by the Jersey swamps. And I remember once hitting a drifter, just bounced off the hood of that car, and that car was like a tank. Nothing could hurt it, certainly not some bum.
No.
But I had to pull over to the side, and
I
had to put him in the trunk. Great thing about Jersey is a lot of land right there by the swamps and down by the beaches where you could get rid of a body.
Okay, Bruce,
nobody would ever find it.
Let me stop you.
That's what this song's all about.
No, Bruce, no.
New Jersey, you can bury a body easily. New Jersey, no one will ever find it.
I just don't think that's the type of thing that the state would feel like would best represent their people. That's all. There's too much death in that song.
Well, I got another one.
Okay, good. Maybe this would have worked a little better.
You know, I remember being on the boardwalk once down by the Jersey Shore, and me and my friends were walking down the boardwalk, and there was a plank loose. Sometimes they do come loose in the summertime when everybody's walking up and down on them. And my friend, his foot fell through the boardwalk.
Oh, no.
Oh, no.
And plank severed an artery.
Oh, wow.
He bled out there on the boardwalk. The cops were already looking for us, just knocking over a liquor store. So we knew we couldn't go to a hospital. So what we did was, We tied a tourniquet around his leg. I had a bandana that I used to wear, and I would stop the bleeding. And we decided we had to take the leg. No way he could keep that leg. So we got an old rusty can of baked beans and took the lid off and used the lid of the can to cut through the flesh. And when we got to the bone, I think it was Clarence who said, "We're going to have to snap that off." So we just dangled his leg over the side of the boardwalk. You all right? Just kept hitting his leg with an old beer keg we found underneath the boardwalk until that leg snapped off.
Bruce, this is maybe taken to the hospital or something. I don't know.
We lost him. He died.
Oh, no.
So we said we'd have a funeral right there at the beach and just toss his body out into the surf.
Right.
Unfortunately, the tide kept washing the body back in up on the shore again and kept tossing him out, and he'd toss back in. We realized he just didn't want to leave Jersey. That's what this song's about. Jersey, when you're dead and you want to leave it, it doesn't matter. Your body keeps washing back on the shore. So I was thinking something like that'd be good.
Yeah, I think maybe you got to spend a little more time with that, Bruce. I don't think those are going to work for the state of New Jersey, but good effort, though, anyway.
That's Jersey to me, man.
Thursday morning on the world-famous K-Rock, it's 106.7 KROQ. Saturday night, we're all going to be together at the Shrine. Ralph, we're going to hang out. We're going to party after the show.
Oh, yeah, you and me, buddy. You know that.
Like we do. If you want to be there, by the way, we're going to give you some tickets up close to the That's My John section in the 8 o'clock hour. Right now, we want to remind you, you only have a couple of hours left to vote. If you want to help select the opening act for the concert at the Shrine. Who will be on stage before Bob Saget and Eddie Afton, Gabriel Iglesias, Greg Fitzsimmons, Eliza Schlesinger, Jay Moore, and Wheeler Walker Jr.? All 10 finalists are up at kevinandbean.com. We're asking you to cast your vote, who you like the best, who should open the show. Let's hear a little bit of one of the contestants this year, Preacher Lawson.
This is how spiritual my grandma is. If I got shot in the chest 8 times, instead of her calling the ambulance, she would get on her knees praying like, please, Lord Jesus, and get these 8 demons outside my grandbaby's chest. Lock the bullets right up sideways from the chest, like Moses did in the Red Sea. Yes, Lord, let the blessings rain down the windows, the wall. Let all these blessings fall.
You can vote for Preacher or any of the other favorites at kevinandbean.com again until 9 o'clock, and then we'll announce the winner on the show tomorrow. All right, time for another look at the Showbiz Beat now. Here's Ralph.
I want to give people a reminder. Tomorrow night at 10 p.m. at the Improv on Melrose, Kevin Smith and I take the stage with Hollywood Babylon.
No.
We have a good time, and I think you will too. You can go to improv.com to get your tickets if you've never seen or heard the show. It's basically Showbiz Beat, but with a lot more cursing and alcohol and drugs and cursing and singing and sometimes dancing, and it's a Lollapalooza is what it is.
Oh.
Yeah, we have a good time.
The answer is that there has to be some form of punishment.
That's how Trump feels about it, sure. Are you a fan of Empire?
Yeah.
Season one, yeah.
Well, you're in luck then with that hearty reaction, because now there's going to be an after show.
No.
Empire
no,
after show.
No.
Every show on television soon will have a show about it, talking about it afterwards.
Look, I get the appeal for the network because it's cheap programming, but that is not necessary for Empire.
This after show will first air online. The show will run on the official Empire YouTube channel after the West Coast broadcast, and then it'll be sent out to local Fox affiliates to be run on air. So you will get just Empire rehash.
Is Empire popular enough now to warrant this?
I don't know. But it, like
returned
you said,
last
cost them
night.
Nothing. Cost them nothing.
Yeah.
Taronda Jones will be the host.
Oh, here she is terrific.
She plays Cookie's assistant Portia on the show.
Oh.
And she will also be
I like her.
The face of After Empire. Empire After.
Did you
Empire
watch
After
last
Dark?
Night, Allie?
I didn't. And here's the thing. I, too, love season one so much. It was campy. It was ridiculous. Season two, it's like they started taking themselves so seriously.
Empire.
And I just, I waned a little bit. So the fact that I didn't even watch last night's makes me kind of sad. I'll watch it today.
You had to shampoo your hair, though.
I did. Oh, thank you for noticing. Yeah. I got a new shampoo and conditioner.
New conditioner combo.
I appreciate it.
You ever been wondering what's happened to Michael Stipe? Now that REM is no more? Well, he made his solo TV debut on Tuesday night on The Tonight Show starring Jimmy Fallon. Stipe's in New York because he is going to be performing at the Bowie tribute concerts held this weekend in that city. And appropriately, Stipe showed up on stage to sing a little Bowie song. He appeared on stage with his trademark bald head, but with a long white beard. What is this long white beard phenomenon that's happening? Letterman and Stipe and...
Yeah.
He's got a nose ring. It's an interesting look for Stipe.
My guess is famous person can be a little bit more anonymous if he doesn't look like the way his fans think he looks.
Right. Instead, they just give him all the attention that he wanted to avoid. But this time it's just, look at that weird beard that guy has.
Hey, don't let that homeless guy in this restaurant.
He did Bowie's Man Who Sold the World. Great song. Just him and the piano. And Stipe was in pretty good voice. Here's a little taste.
I've died alone a long, long time ago. Who knows? Not me. I never lost control. You're face to face with the man who sold the world.
Cool version.
That sounds nice.
Yeah.
We got the video up at KRock.com, by the way, if people want to see the performance as well. Do you think most of our listeners think of that as a Nirvana song by now?
Absolutely.
Sure, yeah. And William Shatner,
guilty.
Well, we'll have to wait and see. He does not want to become a father again at the age of 85.
What? Oh!
There is a man.
So he's making his ladies use protection?
There's a man named Peter Sloan who has come forward and is hauling Shatner into court because he says he is the long-lost son. of Bill Shatner.
Really?
The result of a tryst that Shatner had with Peter's mother, who was a actress in Canada. And back in the late 60s, Peter claims that they had an affair, and the result was Peter. He actually...
Your story is a beautiful story.
Yeah,
from my point of view,
yeah.
It's a beautiful story.
Not really.
I love your story.
You don't love this story. He went as far as to change his name to Peter Shatner on a radio show that he hosted.
Geez.
He also had a Twitter feed under that name, but Shatner's reps had that closed down. So now he's hauling him into court, and all he wants from his dear old dad...
Just recognition.
Recognition,
right?
And $170 million.
Oh.
That's all.
Oh.
Spock sabotaged the system.
Yeah, I think he sabotaged his system right there.
Sabotage?
Sabotage. I say sabotage. You say sabotage.
Spock sabotaged the system.
Sabotage.
Spock, restore the atmosphere.
Bill?
Spock sabotaged the system.
Bill, you keep saying sabotage.
I wish I knew what to do. Observations, Mr. Spock.
Okay, do we have line 193 again with sabotage? Can I sabotage?
I don't say sabotage. You say sabotage. I say sabotage.
You say sabotage. It's true. He says sabotage.
Magic.
He's my dad, too, by the way.
Peter also wants Shatner to take a DNA test, as you can imagine, but no word on whether Shatner will comply with the
I wonder... The test. If there's, look, I'm not at all suggesting that this guy is William Shatner's son, but I wonder what the germ of the idea was. I mean, like, did his mom hook up with William Shatner in the 1960s and he just assumed he's the kid? I mean, I'm wondering where all this came from.
That has to be an apocryphal story where mom said, yeah, you know, I dated William Shatner three times or something, and that's been extrapolated out.
Yeah.
Or it's
right.
Just made up of old cloth and he's just a nut loaf.
And I wouldn't be surprised because of how diehard so many Star Trek fans are that there's somebody out there who's just crazy enough to think, I want to be related to Captain Kirk.
Yeah. Well, look, there's precedent. Remember when Bill went to that planet and he saw his old girlfriend, Carol, and then he found out he did have a long-lost son?
Mm-hmm.
And they had to build the Genesis.
Oh, no.
They took that dead planet and turned it into a brand new planet.
But Bill Shatner sends
his best friend's coffin to that planet, and next thing you know, his best friend's back again. So I'm thinking, we've already got the lost son part.
Let's just get Nimoy's coffin, right? Plot line, though.
Nimoy's coffin. Today's celebrity birthdays. Jessica Shore is 31 years old today. Jack Antonoff is 32. Kate Micucci from Garfunkel and Oates is 36. Ewan McGregor is 45. Angus Young turned 61. Al Gore, former vice president. Good old Al. I miss Al.
He invented the internet.
He invented the internet, first of all, but he also did cause global warming. So
he did. He did
Lord
kill all the polar bears.
Lord
yeah.
taketh away. He's 68, and actor Christopher Walken, 73. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
You are listening to the world-famous K-Rock at 106.7 KROQ. Thanks for tuning in to the Kevin and Bean Show here on a Thursday morning. So, Alan McKay, you're standing out on a street corner, like you do most days after the show anyway. And you see a horrific car accident before you. A sedan crashes into a Metro bus. The bus is making a left turn from Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard onto Western Avenue, and a sedan comes out of nowhere and crashes into the bus.
Oh, no.
And both vehicles catch on fire. It sounds like people in the bus may have gotten off. The person in the car was not able to get out of the car or did not do so immediately. And a good Samaritan standing on the sidewalk working nearby as a sign twirler takes it upon himself to bend into the car and pull that person out of the car.
Oh, wow.
And I guess my question for you and for anyone listening would be, do you take that chance with a perfect stranger in a car that is on fire? We've all seen plenty of movies, and we've seen what happens to car being on fire usually ends up with car exploding.
Yeah.
What's your move, Allie McKay?
I'd like to think I would. You never know until you're in that situation. The adrenaline kicks in, and so many people say they almost have these out-of-body experiences where they just run towards the car, they have superhuman strength, and something different takes over. I would like to think I would help, but I also know myself, and I'd probably be like, oh, I got a phone. Let me call 911. This looks
dangerous. Well, I mean, you are helping in your own way at that point.
Yes.
It may not be the help that is required on the ground by time 911 arrives, but we do see stories like this where people do spring into action because they're good people and they're their human instinct is, if I can help, I will help. Mm-hmm. I mean, I remember a story last year, but I don't remember the details, but a guy who dove into an icy river to rescue somebody who had fallen in and was having trouble, you know, and he didn't think anything about it. He's just like, I saw this person drowning. I needed to jump in and do it.
Right.
So that's why we want to take calls at 1-800-520-1067. We want to hear your Good Samaritan stories. Finally, something positive on the Kevin DeBede Show today. If you have been in a position where you could save a stranger, we want to hear from you. If you have been the recipient of a Good Samaritan's good deed, we want to hear from you as well at 1-800-520-1067. Here's the news report about the young man we were talking about who pulled somebody out of the car named Ricky Clayton. Here you go.
There were moments of chaos and disbelief, followed by adrenaline-fueled need to help.
By the time I turned around to ask people to help me, I had a crowd behind me already willing to go.
Ricky Clayton was on the job in costume, spinning an advertising sign when it happened.
I helped a young man out of his SUV. He was paralyzed from the waist down, but there was black fumes and smoke coming from the bus, so we were trying to get anybody and everybody that might have been in any danger out of the way.
I wonder if it had been Nick, the sign holder, if it would have been a different scenario if he'd seen that accident. I'm going to help you out if you can get the new episodes, the old episodes of the Playboy Club released. By the way, some are saying that it was completely the driver's fault, the sedan's fault, was ripping around a corner at an unsafe speed and lost control and ran into the bus. Now, that doesn't have any kind of impact as to whether you save the guy if the guy's a jackhole, right?
It shouldn't.
Bean? Thinking about Jamie Foxx being on the news a while ago.
I just thought about that. Yeah, he ran down his driveway, heard a crash, ran down his driveway, and saved a young man from his car was burning too, and it turned out the guy was drunk. So I'm sure you don't have a breathalyzer with you, and you're like, hey, just blow into this real quick to see if I want to save you.
Yeah, I guess you just have to assume everyone's innocent until proven guilty, I guess. Christine, assistant producer of the Kevin DeBede Show. Hi.
Hi, Bean.
You were the Good Samaritan, or you were the recipient of a Good Samaritan's good deed?
I was the recipient. I was the person who created a SIG alert once on the 5-4.
No!
Oh, no!
Oh, yeah,
That's an awesome phone topic we have to do one day, by the way. People created SIG alerts.
That was me. I was driving home from Fresno to see Jimmy World, as I do. And it was the middle of the day, no traffic, driving down through the grapevine. And all of a sudden, the last thing I remember is my car feeling like it was fishtailing, and I heard a really loud noise.
Oh, no.
And the next thing I know, my car was spinning out so fast, I couldn't see where I was going.
Oh, my gosh.
And I heard screaming, which the CHP officer later told me was me, probably. And I hit the side of the mountain, flipped upside down, flew over cars, slammed in the center divider, spun out a couple times, and stopped in the first lane of traffic.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God.
And so when I woke up, I think I woke up because somebody was kicking the glass in on the window, which is like partially shattered.
Yeah.
And this older couple, and I can't remember their faces, and it just kills me that I don't know who these people are, but they literally, like, the man and woman were on their hands, and he was using something to, like, break the glass to pull me out of the car.
Oh.
And I remember, like, getting out of the car and going to the side of the road, and then there were, like, ambulances and fire trucks and all these people pulled over. And at the end of the day, the CHP officer told me 14 people pulled over to try to help me.
Oh.
I know. And I was so lucky because the girl who happened to be driving behind me she said she had been following me for probably an hour because she saw that I had probably my cruise control on, and she was just following me.
Right.
She's the one who gave the report to the CHP saying she wasn't speeding, she wasn't driving recklessly. So that's why, like, I was cleared for insurance and everything, because she said, no, like, literally, it was nothing. I saw a big spark in the backside of her car, and all of a sudden, she was spinning out so fast.
Oh, my goodness.
It's so wonderful that so many people stopped to help.
So many people.
Before
crazy.
The police could get there. Now, did they ever find out, going sifting through the wreckage of your car, what had failed on the vehicle?
What the CHP told me first was he's like, it was probably, it's what would be considered an accident. And that's what insurance said too. They said if somebody was at fault, we would go after them for the money.
I was just wondering what went bad in your car that made you spin out like that.
It was a bad tire. Just a bad tire.
Wow. Well, I mean, yeah, like you said, Good Samaritan. I mean, they pulled you out. You certainly were in no condition to remove yourself from the car. It sounds like you were barely conscious.
Yeah. I mean, I remember waking up, and I don't really remember what happens between the time that I was spinning out and when I woke up. So,
Well, that's cool. That considering how awful that experience was, it had to make you feel better to see how many people wanted to help you.
Yeah. I mean, I think afterwards, I mean, I think about it all the time, actually, like the people who did that, like how nice were they on the 5 freeway?
Yeah.
The grapevine, there's like trucks and stuff.
Would have been really easy for somebody to just say, not my problem, just keep driving.
Someone else will help her.
Totally.
All right, let's take some calls. Thank you, Christine. 1-800-520-1067. Let's start with Asher. He's on line 2. He is the Good Samaritan in this case. Asher, welcome to the show. What happened, my friend?
How's it going? Hi. Oh, my gosh. I'm so excited I got through. Okay. I'm a postman. I work over in Laguna Hills at the Leisure World. And the other day, there was a huge swarm of bees. And I heard them from pretty far away, so I didn't go to that area. And then I heard screaming, like a lot of screaming. And then just I sprinted over there, and there's two older, like an older couple in there. And then basically what I did was I got a bunch of Sprite that I had in my bag and dumped it all over it, and then just threw the bag into the bees, and some of them went to it, but I ran over there. I pulled all the people out. I stung a bunch, but it's okay. And then I pulled them out and ran them into an underpass.
Wow. So these people were and turn your radio down, by the way. They should have told you that before you got on the air. So these people were surrounded by swarms of bees, and they were freaking out, and you figured out a way to save them. That's cool.
They were attacking them, and it was really windy, so I think, like, I don't know, something happened. You could just hear them from, like, really far away.
Yeah, so
I didn't
go gotcha.
Over there, and then, yeah, they were just screaming, and then I...
yeah, well, Asher... You're my hero, not because of anything to do with the bees, just because you're a mailman, and I love you. Thank you for the call. Appreciate that. 1-800-520-1067. Were you a Good Samaritan, or did you receive the benefit of being around a Good Samaritan? We want to take your calls next on K-Rock. We'll talk sports with Andrew Siciliano coming up here on the Kevin DeBean Show. Dr. Drew Pinsky as well on the way, like we do on Thursdays. First, though, if you were on either end of a Good Samaritan action, we are talking to you at 1-800-520-1067. We just had that story that happened a couple days ago in L.A. where a guy pulled a guy out of a car that was on fire. And we're talking about incidences where you've been involved on either side of that transaction. And why don't we start with Jake? He's in Irvine. He's on line 2. He'll get us started here. Hi, Jake. Thanks for calling and holding on. What's going on?
How's it going, guys? Was in Cleveland on a with my parents visiting some family friends, and we went out to this restaurant. And the restaurants were designed where the apartments on the top of the restaurant, you know. Mm-hmm. So we stepped out and for my parents' friends to have a cigarette, and my mom had this look of terror on her face. So the family friend took off running. I followed him, and there was actually a little baby, about probably 2 1/2, hanging from a ledge from one of the apartments above the restaurant. And my mom talked him into letting go. He dropped, and we caught him, and it was just horrible. The dad had worked at the restaurant, and the brother had fallen asleep.
Oh, my gosh. I thought that only ever happened in the movies. I've never heard of that happening in real life where a child is just hanging from a ledge. That's insane.
Thank God for smoking.
Right?
Yeah,
so cigarettes do save lives.
Oh,
all right, Jake. Hey, well done, man. You have good karma for the rest of your life. Thank you so much for the call. Appreciate that. Let's go to Melissa. She's in Tustin. She's on line 5. Now, it sounds like, Melissa, you may have encountered a Good Samaritan, right?
Yes, I definitely was the recipient. I was taking my son to school, and I drive pretty far. I go through a bad neighborhood, and I got stranded in my new-to-me car out of gas because the gas gauge doesn't tell me when it runs out of gas. So I'm stranded, and I call my dad, I call my insurance company, and no one's coming, and it's taking like an hour. I'm stuck in the median. Some nice guy stops and pushes me out of the way, at least. And the people that respond, like, I finally called the police because I'm like, I'm stranded here with a little baby. And the police officer comes. He kind of stands there for a second, looks to make sure my car is, like, safe. He escorts me to the side of the road so I'm not in the middle of the road with a baby. And baby's, like, 6 months old, very unhappy, crying. And then he goes and buys me gas, puts it in the car for me, turns on his lights, and escorts me to the gas station because, again, bad neighborhood with the baby, and fills up my gas tank, doesn't even let me get out of the car. And then he sends me on my way.
Wow.
That's very nice.
Was this LAPD?
No, this was Santa Ana PD.
Santa Ana PD. Wow, that's a great officer right there. That's something. You were sure happy to see that dude.
Yes, I was. And he was so nice, and he wouldn't let me pay him back or anything. I tried to write him a nice review for the company or the Santa Ana PD.
I'm glad it worked out for you, Melissa. Thanks so much for the call. Appreciate that. Let's go to Chris Santa Monica up next, line 7 on the Kevin and Meacher. Hey, Chris.
Hey, how you doing? Hey, Allie.
Hey, Chris.
What happened, dude?
I was at the Spartan race. I do a lot of these extreme mud runs and things like that, and there's this part of it where after you've gone through like 8 or 9 miles, you have to jump in this lake that's like freezing cold and swim, I don't know, 50 yards or whatever.
Yeah, there's no excuse ever to participate in an event like that, ever.
Well, what happens is after being all hot and sweaty for all that time, you hit that ice water and your body just constricts and it's really hard to move and you feel like you can't breathe. And I had done it before, so I kind of knew what to expect. But as I started to swim, I kind of looked behind me and I saw this woman break the surface of the water, and she just had a look of terror on her face like I'd never seen before. And I couldn't even hear her. She just mouthed the word help. And so I quickly swam over to her, got an arm around her and pulled her out to the side.
And you guys are married now, and that's the happy ending to the story?
No, she was already married, so I had to throw her back in, actually.
You made the right choice. Thanks for calling, everybody. Allie, you got your questions ready for Dr. Pimple Popper next hour?
I'm actually going to run out to my car for that time and drive away.
We only booked Dr. Sandra Lee, the famous Southern California dermatologist, for you because you had all sorts of questions about cysts and lipomas and popping pimples.
Yeah. Oh. Carbuncles.
Anyway. Carbuncles, right. Carbuncles.
Lots of carbuncle talk.
Dr. Lee will be joining us 1 hour from right now. I know she has quite the fan base, so spread the word. She'll be on K-Rock.
Oh, good. So you're going to stick around for the show for today, at least.
What are you talking about?
Well, obviously you have plans. You're making your plans to abandon ship, to get off of this show.
I have talked about that CBS Radio is up for sale and that it is possible that soon this station will be Musica, 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 and I don't know how well Kevin and Bean will survive that transition. But other than that, I don't have any plans.
Rather than taking the show and trying to find another home for it, you're just going to, like a rat scurrying off a sinking ship, you're just going to go save yourself and just do another show.
What are you talking about?
Sit down.
What's happening?
What are you even talking about? Look, who shows up for work more than anybody on this show,
Kevin,
by the way?
First of all, Kevin.
Oh, I forgot about him. Yeah, I forgot. Kevin's always here, right?
But, what do you know that we don't know?
Well, Allie, you might be interested to know that apparently behind all of our backs, our own Bean Baxter is trying to get the job co-hosting Loveline with Dr.
No,
Drew.
That's not true.
Yes. Has he approached management about co-hosting Loveline with Dr.
Okay.
Drew, but Bean has gone as far as to do an audition.
No.
First of all, that's not true.
Audition for Loveline. It is true.
Let me just say this. Tonight is Mike Catherwood's last night co-hosting Loveline. He's been doing it for 6.5 years. He's been a great host, but he is moving on, onward and upward, bigger and better.
And you are putting yourself in the position to take his seat before the corpse is even cold.
They are looking
You're going to sit in that chair.
They're looking for a new host for Dr. Drew, but I would never do something like that. I certainly would have told you guys about it if I were doing an audition.
So you didn't do an audition?
No.
So I don't have the tape? Yes.
You have...
Try Brian!
Oh, Bean.
You have. I didn't know you had the tape.
Yeah, exactly. Luckily, I have friends in this building who secretly funneled me this tape, and now
I
have got
wasn't aware that there was evidence to prove that I am actually, in fact, lying.
Positive. Here is Bean's audition tape for taking over for Mike Catherwood as the co-host of Loveline.
This is Loveline. Loveline. It makes sex even better.
You are listening to Loveline with me and Dr. Drew. Oh, Dr. Drew. You sang so perfectly fine the other day with that King's game. You were absolutely acceptable. Okay, let's take our first caller. We've got a caller on the line. Hello?
Hi, Dr. Drew and Bean. I've got a problem and I just can't seem to get a handle on it. I can't control myself. I just like to peep into women's windows and into women's locker rooms.
Oh, no.
And I can't help myself. I just like to look at them.
Why are you bothering us with this call? They seem perfectly fine to me.
Well, the police don't seem to think so. I've been arrested twice, and I just can't seem to get a handle on it.
Well, tell me what kind of things you see when you're peeping like that.
Oh, well, you know, women in locker rooms, you know, walking around in towels, or women in their bedrooms.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yes. Oh, daddy likey.
Oh, come on.
I know this is going to sound weird coming from me, but you're a little creepy.
What? I'm not creepy at all. How could you say that?
Well, you know, takes one to know one.
But first of all, I have never been arrested for peeping. And I don't think I like this call. Oh, we have to move on. Another call. Yes, go ahead. You're on the air.
Yeah. Hi, Dr. Drew. Bean. I also have a bit of a problem. I tend to steal women's underwear from the laundromat near my house where I do my laundry. I wait for a woman to put her underwear in a washer, and then I will steal the underwear. And it's a compulsion. I need some help.
Once again, I don't see anything wrong with this. Is there anybody out there with a real problem? Why that?
Well, you could just wish me luck, Ralph. You don't have to be mean about it.
I hadn't heard that till now. I think we're all safe. I think the show's going to stick together.
The band is called the Strumbellas, and the song is Spirits. Album will be out on April the 22nd here on the world-famous K-Rock. Jim Rome is on vacation this week, but we're still going to be talking...
Oh,
we're still going to be talking. I'm so puzzled that you were here all of a sudden, Jim.
Take some time off. You guys are legends.
Talking sports with our other friend, Andrew Siciliano, coming up just after 8. First, though, time for the Showbiz Beat on a Thursday. What's going
on? Andrew's great. Love his work.
Yeah, right?
NFL. Football.
That's the guy.
You really do sound like him.
Biggest sport.
Jim, can you speak in any complete sentences, or are you just only capable of...
Of course I can.
Okay, all right.
It's not a good look.
Not a good look at
all.
Why
coming at me like that, Bean?
No, I just was. It just seemed like there was just a lot of...
Do not like it.
Okay.
Hey, Jack White is a cool dude. He's a cool dude.
Mm-hmm. He is.
He's always got something interesting to do on Record Store Day. You know Record Store Day, the totally BS holiday?
Uh-oh.
It's not a BS holiday at all.
The guy who created it.
Uh-huh.
Record store owner, right?
Right.
What's up with him?
He was... Mm-hmm.
Open up a blog.
He's that guy.
He's that guy.
He was not the best spokesperson for the day.
Right.
When we had him on our show.
Yes.
But I think the intent of it is, hey, it's fun to buy music on iTunes and stream on Spotify, but you know what? There's a certain thrill that you can't replace of going into an actual physical record store and flipping through the records and picking something out and taking it home and having a physical piece of something.
Those things are all true. What about that guy? What happened to his record store?
It went out of business.
That's
like most independent
record stores
have in
so
the
he's
last
bad
years.
At what he does, is what
it's
I'm saying.
It's just he was up against the forces of changing technology. It wasn't entirely his fault. Look, we're lucky in Southern California that we still have places like Amoeba. A lot of cities don't have any record stores anymore.
I love some Amoeba.
I love some Amoeba, too.
Go down there and just look at the lunch boxes.
Well, they do sell a lot of stuff other than records.
Yes,
that's
they
true.
Do.
That's why you go?
I love the lunch boxes at Amoeba. They're
okay.
Awesome. Anyway, this year, Jack's label, Third Man Records, is officially releasing the complete Peel Sessions for the White Stripes. You familiar with the Peel Sessions?
Sure.
Not talking to you. Of course you are.
Oh, sorry.
Nerdy McRadio. But most people don't know that John Peel was a guy on BBC Radio that had a huge show, huge following there in the UK. And Meg and Jack went on that show twice to promote the White Blood Cells album. And they did live performances. Now, those recordings have been bootlegged for years, but Jack has the masters, and that's what he has used to press this 2-LP vinyl set. One of the records is red, the other one is white. And you can look for it at your local independently owned record store on April the 16th, which is Record Store Day. So, if you're a completist and you want more Jack White vinyl, this is the new thing you can get in April.
That's a good tip.
It is a good tip. You know, we were talking last time in Showbiz Beat about the live musicals that everybody does. You know, NBC's got this Hairspray that they're going to be doing a live musical version of that. They're currently looking for a girl to play the lead role of Tracy in that. But Fox has announced their next live. I'm sorry, that's incorrect. NBC has announced another live production that they have in the works. And I was wondering if this was going to happen or not. Because musicals, you know, easy sell. People tune in. Grease, of course, was a big hit for Fox. And then NBC's doing this Hairspray. But NBC's,
we had The Wiz.
Wiz, of course, and Sound of Music.
Peter Pan.
Peter Pan. They've announced they're doing a live version of the play A Few Good Men on NBC. Not a musical.
You can't handle the truth!
Really?
Yes. Now, before it was ever a movie starring Tom Cruise and Jack Nicholson, it was a smash hit Broadway play starring Tom Hulce and others. But they're going to do it live as a play on television. Now, back in the early days of television, live drama was a staple. I mean, they did a live play every week, multiple plays every week. But we haven't seen live theater that isn't a musical done on television in some time. So,
Do you think there's any reason to do shows like that? And the reason I ask is because whenever a TV show like a, you know, ER did one back in the day and other shows have done a live version, it really generally just, it's a novelty, but it doesn't make the show any better. Most shows benefit from having the advantage of editing and multiple takes and things like that.
Well, most television shows are created to be edited and performed like that. You shoot a television show in small segments to be edited together into a larger whole. But if you're presenting a play, a theatrical production, I think it can be very compelling live on television. I think it's more interesting to do live drama than it is to do musicals on television. Because musicals tend to rely on spectacle, and you need the wide scope of watching it on a stage with all the dancers and singing and movement and action and live music. There's something about live musical theater that you cannot replicate on television. But I think drama, if it's staged properly, you can get very powerful performances out of actors.
Okay.
I'll be interested to see this.
I will, too. I will absolutely watch it. I'm a huge fan of I never saw the play. I loved it. Certainly loved the movie. But is this a current Broadway show that they're going to be filming, or are they going to hire
No, they're doing it,
actors to
they're
do
doing
it?
They're doing it uniquely for television.
Oh, okay.
Aaron Sorkin, the author, will be producing the show as well.
I'm in.
And so far, no actors have been cast, but I'm just saying, I'm right here, right?
That's true.
You want me on that wall. You need me on that wall.
You're hired.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Bad news, good news for Bill Cosby. Actually, it's all bad news, which makes me happy. A Superior Court judge in Los Angeles has ruled that the defamation suit that's been brought against him by model Janice Dickinson will go forward. His lawyers tried to get it dismissed, but a judge said, no, not so quickly. The allegations that Cosby drugged and sexually assaulted her back in the 80s and the idea that Cosby's lawyers branded her a liar, and that was defamation, these all must be decided by a jury, he said. There's no way that I can make a judgment on this, so that trial will go forward. This is sad news in the light of Janice just announced that she's been diagnosed with breast cancer, but at least legally, she's got some good news. And also, another California judge has decided that the case brought by Judy Huth against Cosby for sexually assaulting her at the Playboy Mansion in the 70s will also go forward. However, the Cosby deposition has been delayed, but that means just lawyers now will go testify and get depositions from other potential witnesses to the event. Gloria Allred says she's going to interview Hugh Hefner because it happened at the Playboy Mansion. That should be a fascinating conversation. Guy can't remember where he put his socks, and he's going to recount something that happened in 1974.
Right.
Good luck, Gloria.
I hope Bill Cosby lives long enough to go to prison.
Yeah.
That's my fear, is that this is going to be tied up in court for so long that he'll be dead before anything ever comes of it.
They are dragging their feet, but... No! When you're pushing things with a long time, then the difference of days and weeks can be also with the same in the kind.
Yeah!
No.
Said Bill. Today's celebrity birthdays... Christopher Walken, 73 years old today. Al Gore is 68. Angus Young of AC/DC is 61. Ewan McGregor, 45 years old today. Kate Micucci, comedian, singer, songwriter, half of Garfunkel & Oates. She is 36. Jack Antonoff of Fun is 32. Jessica Shore celebrates her 31st birthday. And our buddy Ashley Escada from CNET.
Oh, no way!
Celebrates your 33rd birthday today. Happy birthday, Ashley. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
You are minutes away from winning your tickets in the That's My John section of Kevin O'Bean's April Foolishness, which is this Saturday night at the Shrine. We will tell you when to call in and win. And also, Dr. Pimple Popper is going to be joining us. Nope. Dr. Sandra Lee, Southern California dermatologist, is going to tell us all about her phenomenally successful YouTube channel where people tune in to watch her popping pimples and worse. First, though, but a rare springtime appearance from Johnny Football. Andrew Siciliano, my friend. How are you, sir?
Well, hold on. Can we back up? Is that pimple thing you just mentioned legit? That wasn't like a tease for a bit?
No. Dr. Pimple Popper, she has a YouTube channel where people all over the world, including many of our listeners we found out, find it oddly satisfying to watch people get their blackheads extracted, to get their lipomas popped, to get cysts removed. There's a whole cult out there of people who love stuff like this, Andrew.
Get lives, all of you.
Andrew, thank you. I threw up yesterday on the air, like gagging, as he's posting pictures of this, doing audio. It's disgusting.
I don't get it either, Andrew, but, yeah, you know, different strokes for different folks. Hey, how are you, by the way?
I'm doing well. Thank you for asking.
What are you doing with your time? You're still on the TV every day, right?
I am. We do a show called Path to the Draft on NFL Network, same time, 3 p.m. Pacific, 6 Eastern. And we do an hour, if you can believe that, every single day, getting ready for the draft on the night of April 28th.
Isn't it unbelievable that NFL has become so massively popular that it is now a year-round sport? For people who want to follow the NFL, there really isn't a day off, is there?
June, basically. Yeah,
June, okay.
Yeah, or and maybe the 4th of July. You basically can't get a phone to ring on the or answer on the 4th of July. Other than that, that's
well, do you mind if I ask you a couple of basketball related things, Andrew, because I know you're a fan of all other sports as well.
Please.
And I want to start with asking you, what do you make, and I know this is impossible, I'm asking you to put yourself in the head of a, you know, 25-year-old African-American professional basketball player. What's going through the mind of a guy like D'Angelo Russell who thinks it's a good idea to surreptitiously tape a teammate talking about private stuff? Why would he ever think that would be a good idea?
Well, I mean, forget about it. I can't even say forget about the teammate thing. Why would you ever do that to anyone you know to begin with? The
yes,
fact
a
that
friend.
You have to work with this person and basically live with this person because, you know, a desk job that the average listener may have is not like playing for a team in which you live on the road with somebody all day, all night, for 8 months, basically.
Yeah.
I mean, we were talking about this in our newsroom yesterday, how maybe we should talk about it on NFL Network, and SportsCenter did it, I know ESPN did it, rather, on their NFL shows, simply because this is, I mean, this goes deeper than basketball. And listen, if your reaction is, I can't believe Nick Young is allegedly having an affair, that's also another side of the story that we're glossing over and just dumping on D'Angelo Russell. You know, there are multiple sides to this story, but I don't know how the guy can ever walk in that locker room again. I mean, somehow he figured out a way to do it last night, but I don't know how he'd do it consistently.
Hey, he got booed last night by Laker fans, though.
Which is just the I understand why they're booing him, but have you ever heard? I mean, think about the day and age we live in. Someone got booed because they posted a video online. A couple of years ago, you couldn't even watch videos on your phone.
Right.
And now... Now you're getting booed for it. And the kid just turned 20. So when
he's only 20? Wow.
We say kid. He really is a kid.
All right. Let me ask you this question, and I have to be honest. This is coming from producer Dave, who says, people didn't seem to have much problem with Donald Sterling's private conversations being made public because they hated Donald Sterling and what he believed in. But people are so bent out of shape by D'Angelo Russell doing the same thing to somebody who you could argue is also doing a bad thing by cheating on his lady. Is there a difference between the two?
I mean, I think they're two vastly different issues. One, you're talking about decades of racism against tenants and against employees, right? And the other is about a guy having an affair. Not to minimize either, but I would say decades of racism trumps an affair. Sorry. The other thing is, you know, the thing about the Donald Sterling thing that always rankled me is that I don't know why it took a TMZ video for anyone to be up in arms about Donald Sterling. He had been what I like to call a front page racist.
Yeah.
For years. I mean, when I say front page, I mean literally the front page of the LA Times in the Elgin Baylor lawsuit against Donald Sterling and the team had just, like, I mean, horrific details, testimony against Sterling in that case. And, you know, Elgin Baylor lost the case. That doesn't mean
there was a mountain of evidence against Sterling that none of us really paid attention to until it came up as backstory after the tapes. You're absolutely right about that.
When Donald Sterling was hit with what I believe at the time was then the largest federal fine for housing discrimination, the NBA didn't issue a statement. Forget about other players around the league, you know, threatening to boycott Clipper games, right? The league, if I recall correctly, didn't even issue a public statement.
Wow.
So the fact that it took a TMZ thing, you know, someone's cell phone video, or not cell phone,
that's interesting,
someone recording a phone conversation, to me was always the part of the story that I was uncomfortable with, because, you know, where these people been? Wake up.
Right. This is the voice of our friend Andrew Siciliano here on the Kevin and Bean Show, and now the reason we're excited to have you on. You are uniquely qualified to talk Final Four this weekend. How long? You went to Syracuse in the 90s, right? You got your degree in journalism from there.
I did, and I'm not uniquely qualified in the media, because basically 98% of the media went to Syracuse.
How long have they not been the Orangemen? Now they're just the Orange.
Yeah, it happened about a decade ago, and to be honest with you, I hate it.
You hate it, because I know you still call them the Orangemen.
Why would you neuter the Orange? They did it for two reasons. One, they wanted a gender-neutral mascot. If you look at the thing, it looks pretty gender-neutral to me to begin with.
Right, it's an orange.
It's a giant orange.
It didn't have a penis to begin with.
Not that I could find. And number two, they wanted it, obviously, you know, for marketing things, you call everything, you know, by what name, and then you could sell new gear and sell more gear, and so be
sure.
The orange. But originally, years and years and years and years and years ago, as in 100 years ago, they were the Saltine Warriors after a local Native American tribe, and they simply wore orange. They were never really known as the Saltine Warriors. They wore orange, and hence they were the Orange Men.
Okay. All right. How unlikely has their journey been to this weekend in Houston, Texas, as they're in the Final Four? Is this something you had any inkling was going to be the result of this season as you followed it throughout the year, Andrew?
They almost didn't make the tournament. This makes no sense. And Nate Silver over at 538 says that they had 0.09 chance of making the Final Four when the tournament began. I mean,
wow.
It is... In terms of big conference schools, like, look, George Mason made it once, BCU made it. You always get these ridiculous Cinderella stories. They are the most unlikely big conference school to have ever made it. When they woke up 18 days ago on that Sunday morning, Selection Sunday, the possibility of them not making the tournament was real, was legitimate, and no one would have been shocked. No one really would have even been upset. I mean, if they hadn't made the tournament that day, people would have shrugged their shoulders and said they lost 5 out of 6 down the stretch.
It would not have been a snub. It would not have been the type of thing where everybody was outraged that they didn't get in the field of 64.
Right. Look, you could have made an argument for them being a snub, but mostly you would have shrugged your shoulders and walked away and said, yeah, you get what you deserve.
You lose that many games, right?
Right.
All right. So they beat Dayton on the Friday, and then they beat Middle Tennessee, who you remember were a very, you know, exciting in the spotlight team for a minute until they came up against the Orange.
Right.
Then they beat Gonzaga, which made me sad, and they were also about a 10 or 11 seed, if I remember correctly, when they beat them on the following Friday. And then the game that we couldn't believe they won, because certainly they were going to fall to number one seed Virginia, right? How'd they win that game, Andrew?
So they were down 16 with 9 minutes to go. I watched it again last night. It shouldn't ever happen. They scored 29 of the final 37 points in the game. And forget about the UVA game, and the Gonzaga game. They were down double digits in the second half in both of those games. Virginia fell apart. Syracuse pressed, and they couldn't handle it. And I watched. I don't know how it happened.
You'll never delete that game from your DVR, will you, Andrew?
No. It's as if Virginia left the court for 5 minutes. And, yeah, somehow they won. I can't in any way believe it.
Yeah, it's too good to be true.
They went in 03 and they won. They went in 13 and they lost on Saturday. They were there in 96 when I was a senior in college. I did those games. and they lost to Kentucky that had 9 NBA players. Look, they, we expect them to always make a run and try to get there, but put it this way. There are allegedly 5 tickets outstanding that were bought in January on 1,000-to-1 odds, and people put down $100. So there are allegedly 5 winning tickets out there that would pay $100,000 on a single $100 bet.
That's unbelievable. They play Saturday against number 1 seed North Carolina. I mean, at this point, they've got the certainly momentum on their side, but so does every team that makes it to the Final Four. I mean, you don't get to the Final Four unless you've won a bunch of games in a row. Are you willing to allow yourself to dream that they could win this one too?
At this point, I have my flight booked to come back Sunday.
You're going to go, you're going to see him, but you're not expected to stay till Monday night.
However, flights can be changed.
Well, that's a hell of a fan for you there, Andrew. And by the way, your Lady Syracuse team is also in the Final Four, right?
They are also in the Final Four, correct, which is the first time they've ever made it. Which is, they made it within 3 hours of each other.
Good time to be an Orange fan.
Yeah, so for the 4 Syracuse people out there, yay.
Well, listen, we're happy for you, man. Have a great time down there in Texas. I hope you have to extend that flight to Tuesday morning, and it's always great to catch up with you, Andrew. Thanks for the time, sir.
All right, enjoy the pimples.
Bye-bye. All right, we are going to open up the phone lines right now at 1-800-520-1067. This is the moment you've been waiting for. If you have not yet gotten your tickets for Kevin DeBean's April Foolishness, the show is Saturday night at the Shrine. These are the good ones, too. These are up close in the That's My John section, talking about the VIP reception with the Kevin DeBean show, the limited edition That's My John show t-shirt, VIP parking. You will have to earn the tickets. You got to play a game to win, but you can call right now if you want to go for it. 1-800-520-1067. Your call's next on K-Rock. When you guys send a beer mug out for food, how much extra does he buy so that he has something to eat on the way back to the station with everybody else's food? Otherwise, he would eat all your stuff before we even got here.
Yeah. We have to pack him a lunch here to send with him to the restaurant so he has something to eat on the way back and forth in order to get our food back.
Muggs doesn't like to have a minute of the day where there's not food to his mouth. That's what they got
nervous
about him. Sure. All right. 8:26 Thursday morning. This Saturday night, of course, we're going to be at the Shrine. Dave told me that some of the guest tickets that have been given out to the comedians and whatnot, some of those that weren't used have been put back into the system. So there may even be not just the cheap
goodies
seats at the top. There may be some good seats at the bottom if you want to go right now to AXS.com and buy the tickets to join us on Saturday night. But right now, we're going to give away tickets in the That's My John section to Kevin DeBean's April Foolishness. And the game this time is called Philly is my John.
Philly is my John. Win takes two April Foolishness. Philly is my John. John.
So, Vince, first of all, to everyone involved, it's not John. It's no one is your John. John is the name of a guy, short for Jonathan,
right?
But, or but John the Baptist. But
when I say it,
but
it's when I say it like
not John,
then you don't like that either, though.
Not John. You don't have to have a stroke. It's not John or Strokey. Okay, it's just John. It's my John.
It's my John.
John.
John. John. All right. And John. This is a word.
Like awning. You know the awning that hangs over the deck.
Sure.
An
sure.
awning.
Yeah.
On. Uh-huh. Aw.
John.
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 All right. And this is a word made popular in the great city of Philadelphia.
It's uniquely Philadelphian.
Uniquely Philadelphia. Okay. And that's why this game is called Philly is my John.
Well, Philly is my John to John, John,
not John to John, John. It's John to John, John.
All right. Listeners are on the line, ready to play for the tickets, Ralph.
Well,
what do they need to know?
Let me explain to you.
I said, what do they need to know ahead of time?
God, it's awful. You're awful in every way. There's a lot of connections to Philly. Not only is the best section called It's My John section, but one of our big comedians, Bob Saget, proud son of Philadelphia.
Oh,
he's a Philadelphian.
Okay, all right. Excellent.
So I thought since it has all those connections, we have a fun game where I would describe for you a famous Philadelphian, and you just need to identify who it is.
Easy enough.
Right? That sounds easy enough. All right. Let's take him in order, Chip, and we'll start with line one, please. Let's make it Vincent. He's in Claremont. He's our first contestant. Hey, Vincent, welcome to the show. Listen up. Here's Ralph.
Vincent, this is one of the most popular comedians working today, and this Philadelphian starred in such films as The Wedding Ringer, Ride Along, and Get Hard.
Kevin Hart?
You're right. Kevin Hart.
There you go.
Famous Philadelphian.
You are in the drawing. Thanks so much for playing. Let's go to Jacob Lake Elsinore. Up next, line two, please.
Morning, boys.
Hey, Jacob. This Oscar-nominated movie star, Philadelphian, actually got his big break on television, starring in such shows as Alias and the drama Jack and Bobby.
Alias and Jack and Bobby?
Yeah.
But he's a big movie star
big
now,
movie
you said.
He's a big movie star
Rob.
Now, but he got his big break on television first, starring in shows like Alias with Jennifer Garner and a show called Jack and Bobby before he moved on to movies.
Seth Green, I don't know.
No, Bradley Cooper. Bradley Cooper is what we're looking for.
All right. Thank you anyway, Jake. Appreciate that. Mike is up next. He's in Mission Viejo. Hi, Mike. You ready to play?
I'm ready.
Hey, Mike. Many of us first fell in love with this Philadelphian in movies like Nick and Nora's Infinite Playlist, but these days she's one of two broke girls.
Oh, ouch. I can't think of the name off the top of my head, so I'm going with Rodney Bingenheimer.
Oh, so close.
So close. Kat Dennings. Kat Dennings is who we were looking for.
Ouch. All right. Well, thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
Thank you. We appreciate you listening. By the way, none of these sons and daughters of Philadelphia continue to live in Philadelphia, though. They all move away, every one of them, right?
Well, there's not a bustling movie and TV industry there in Philadelphia. You kind of have to go to New York or Los Angeles if you want to work.
Let's try Downey's Dick. Rick. He's up next. He's on line four. Hey, Rick, welcome to the show. We're playing for April Foolishness. That's my John tickets. Good luck.
Hey there. This Philadelphian is an actress, comedian, writer, and producer, and she first became a big star by doing an impression of Sarah Palin on Saturday Night Live.
That would be Tina Fey.
That would be Tina Fey. Well done,
didn't
sir.
Didn't know she was from Philly.
Philly girl. Upper Darby.
I think she hides it. I don't think she likes to brag about it.
She talks about it all the time.
She probably
started a scholarship at Temple University in honor of her father in journalism.
But she claims to be from another city,
I bet. Does not. She claims to be a proud Philadelphian, and she
Let's try such. Alex in Lake Forest. He's up next. He's on line five on the Kevin Amin Show. Hey, Alex, good luck to you in advance.
I appreciate it, guys.
Hey, Alex, most actors can be connected to this Philadelphian by 6 degrees or less, especially his wife, Kira Sedgwick.
6 degrees? Does that sound familiar? Six degrees
of this Philadelphian?
Famous movie actor.
Is he even on the phone? Is he still there?
Alex? All right, we lost Alex.
You want to hold on to that question and re-ask it to the next
We can go to the next guy. We can go to Steve in Woodland Hills, see if he's got a shot at it. Sure.
Hey, Steve.
Oh, hell yeah. Hey, guys, how's it going?
Good.
That would be Kevin Bacon.
Kevin Bacon.
There you go. All right, you're in the drawing. Hang on, let's do one more.
Philadelphian, by the way.
This is going to be Ruben in Los Angeles on line seven, our final contestant.
Hey, Ruben. This Philadelphian first became known to audiences as the vampire Angel on Buffy the Vampire Slayer, but then, of course, got known for his role as Special Agent Booth on Bones.
Alex, or...
Oh, I'm sorry, what?
I know, like, there's a Family Guy joke, like, Aurora Boy Alex, or like...
You are so close. I'm sorry. We were looking for David Boreanaz David Boreanaz. Yeah. But nice try. A lot of famous Philadelphians, Ralph.
Yeah, there are.
Steve got his. Rick as
my
well.
John.
Also, Vincent, only one will win tickets up close for That's My John section of Kevin Bean's April Foolishness at the Shrine. Allie McKay, who's earner, please.
The winner is Vincent.
Yay!
Vinny!
Yeah.
Vinny, we'll see you Saturday night.
Thanks for playing.
Philly is my John.
Yet on K-Rock 106.7 KROQ on the Kevin and Bean Show. Allie, ready?
No.
Why no? This is going to be fun. It's going to be awesome. She's a very personable young woman. She is Dr. Sandra Lee. She is a Southern California dermatologist. She's got a practice in Upland. And I know that we were late to the party on her YouTube channel because millions of fans from around the world have been enjoying her videos because she, ladies and gentlemen, is Dr. Pimple Popper.
And now I can't sit. Don't care how you do it. You know I'm not fussy. But I need help. It's big and red and pussy.
All right. I don't know that we needed the sound effects. That brings it pretty close to home. Hey, Dr. Lee, welcome to the show. How are you?
Hi, good morning. I love the song. That's
yes, awesome. You got your own jingle already. Not many guests get a jingle right out of the gate, so congratulations.
I know. Thank you for having me.
I have to tell you that it was a friend of mine who tipped me off to your YouTube channel. I am sorry that I was completely ignorant of the fact that there are papaholics out there who enjoy, who find it relaxing and soothing and somehow deeply satisfying to watch other people have their skin conditions taken care of. Can you at all explain this phenomena to me, doctor?
Well, let me tell you, it's a shock to me, too. I mean, this really just started about a year ago where I started to post pimple popping on my Instagram and on my YouTube channel, and it has blown up. I mean, we've got a million subscribers now on YouTube and on Instagram, and it was like in the hundreds.
When you posted those videos, were you just trying to educate people as to what a dermatologist does, or to give them tips on things to look forward to, you know, to look for on their own skin that might be problems?
Well, you know, I thought on Instagram I'd show people a little window into my world as a dermatologist. You know, I think the things that I do are pretty interesting, and I think people would be interested in, you know, learning about the skin or things in general. But I had noticed in the beginning when I first posted a blackhead extraction that it got a little jump in views. And what happened then is I posted a video on YouTube, and then I got even more views. And then I found out that there is this whole subculture, this whole community of people who just love watching popping videos.
Okay, here's the thing. I thought, well, these people are obviously freaks because this is disgusting. And our phone lines lit up.
Yes.
And I got texts from friends, upstanding citizens in the community.
Yes.
They're like, I watch this all the time, Allie. You have no
idea.
They're
amongst all of us. Wow. And I think, interestingly, I think about at least the people that watch my videos, three quarters of them are female. I mean, there's a lot of males that watch too, and I think it's very interesting. They're all among us, and I would guess about maybe 10, maybe 20% of the world likes it. It's all over the world.
What's the most popular?
It is fascinating.
Is it the cysts with
the blackheads?
Really,
blackheads are.
We call those the soft pop. Because they're like the more milder. There's no blood. It's not surgery.
Sure.
You know, the blackheads that come up because they're like snowflakes. There's never one.
They're not like snowflakes, doctor. They are not.
Yes,
no.
They are. Wait, you know what? You start with a nice Mr. Wilson or Pops. There's some famous people like on my YouTube channel that have amazing blackheads. An
amazing
story,
blackheads
too.
Are words I've
they
never
do.
Heard put together.
And he has
they
a
do.
Name. That's his real name?
They have names. Yeah, because, you know, they actually, what happens is, it's sort of like you when you watch them, you hear our conversation too, and people get to care about these people.
Yes,
too.
You are not one of those doctors who ignores her patients. You have lots of chit chat with them, and they seem to enjoy that. I think it's a social visit for a lot of them to come see you, Dr. Lee.
Yes.
I was so surprised going through your channel about how many people have bonded over this. I mean, you read a letter the other day about some people that met, and the way he knew that this was the woman for him is that they realized they both love your videos, and that's kind of what brought them together. And he was asking you to send us a photo that he could give to her for Valentine's Day.
But can you imagine that if you really secretly really liked this and you watched it every night, and then you discovered that your best friend or someone that you were somewhat close to also did the same thing. Don't you think that would make you pull you together?
What
it all comes down to is it really makes everybody happy. I mean, it just makes them, I don't know, it has a feeling of completeness, I guess, that people feel that their face is clean or their skin is clean. And you know, so many people watch it before they go to sleep. That's like one of the big
things. That was a surprise. That was a surprise to me. Because that sounds like that sounds like the stuff of nightmares, doctor.
Well, you know, ask people. I'm not sure exactly why, but they just feel that it's very relaxing. Especially if they're anxious or they're about to have a panic attack even. Some people watch my videos and it helps them to feel better.
I think you're on to something because I was trying to figure out why people use the word relaxing over and over again. I think you're right in that it's like having a spick and span clean kitchen counter. You just feel good about going to bed knowing that everything's picked up and everything looks good. And that's the satisfaction they're getting from seeing other people walk out of your office with skin in such great condition compared to when they walked in. Right.
Right, and you know, people too that have conditions where they actually they have compulsions to pick their own skin. You know, a little OCD that actually mm-hmm. helps. This actually helps them too. They say they didn't pick their skin.
Unbelievable.
Because they'll watch it. So it's just it's really interesting, isn't it? It's just so, I find it very interesting.
So blackheads, acne, cysts, warts. You do Botox yeah. and fillers and liposuction.
Right.
Are there a lot of patients who don't want to be filmed?
Most people, 99% of people say yes. In fact, people come from far. People have come from London, from Saudi Arabia, from across the country for me to pop their pimples.
I think it also
it's
helps
crazy.
That you're an attractive, younger
Very attractive.
Doctor. So
yes.
I think that's part of it.
Yeah, I mean, I think I just try to show my personality on my videos, and I try to make people feel good about themselves and feel happy. And really all this is about trying to, I mean, I'm not feeling like I'm going to be Dr. Pimple Popper for the rest of my life here. I'm trying
that was
to, a,
that was you know, brilliant marketing, though, for you to come up with that name. Brilliant.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, and I'm just trying to show people, maybe educate them about their skin, maybe you know, have them learn a little bit about how amazing dermatology is.
Well,
and along the way, they get to watch some pimples pop. You know?
I was certainly surprised. I know I'm, as I said, I'm late to the party on this. I was certainly surprised how popular your channel is. By the way, the YouTube channel is just under Dr. Pimple Popper, and the website yeah. address for Dr. Lee's practice in Upland is drpimplepopper.com. It is awesome that you agreed to come on, Doctor. Congratulations on the success of the channel, and thank you so much.
I'll dedicate a pop to Allie.
Oh, thank
yes,
you.
Yes, please do. That's very kind
I
of
will.
You. Bye-bye now. We'll talk to our friend Dr. Drew Pinsky just after 9 o'clock with his weekly visit here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Thanks for tuning in on a Thursday. It's Ralph Garman time. What's happening?
Oh, say does that star-spangled
That's our guy. Sings the anthem,
yeah. It
See, you could have done it, too.
But I'm a fake opera singer. He's a real opera singer.
Yeah.
Sounded pretty good.
Thanks. Hey, we were talking earlier in the show about Good Samaritans.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Those are nice people, right?
Yeah.
By definition, yeah.
A lot of our listeners have saved people's lives.
Right?
We found out today.
That is so cool. I wish I could save somebody's lives. Somebody's lives? I wish I could save somebody's lives.
Wish you could save somebody's lives.
Yeah, more importantly. Can one of you have a horrible accident or something so I can save you?
I'm hoping.
You're about to go, Allie. I might have to save you in about 5 minutes. You look like you're a little worse for wear. I don't know what happened last night, but God bless you. Anyway,
I can hear you.
The reason I thought about it, but this email came in from listener, who the hell did this? Jorge sent this in. He said, I was in Vegas and slipped on a wet floor in a casino restroom, cracking my head open.
Oh, God.
I don't know how long I was out, but when I woke up, there was someone applying pressure to my head to stop the bleeding. So when it comes to Good Samaritans, all I can say is, somebody saved me in the potty. I woke up in a noble guy. Somebody saved me in the potty. Somebody saved me in the potty. Somebody saved me in the potty.
That is what champions are made of.
That is what champions are made of. Thank you, Jorge, for keeping that bit alive. God bless you. Hey, Fox has announced that they're going to do an after show after Empire.
Nope.
Now, it's going to be on the internet, on the Empire YouTube channel, initially after the West Coast broadcast. Then they're going to make it available to local Fox affiliates to run on air, should they choose to. It's going to be hosted by Taronda Jones, who plays Cookie's assistant Portia on the show. And it will rehash the most recent episode. They'll break it down, and then also have interviews with cast members as well. So, Empire fans, you get your own after show.
All right.
Not every show needs an after show.
I agree.
Most don't.
I think you're probably right.
Yeah.
By the way, I love that idea. I wish every show had an after show on the internet, but don't put them on TV.
Yeah. Well, it seems like they're going to get half and half with this one.
Right.
I'm going to do one called Flasher. We're after Flash.
Well, maybe a different name.
Yeah, I love the
Flasher,
name.
Flasher, just mean a trench coat.
Nope.
And you don't even mention the show.
That's right. Who cares about that? Just look at my junk. Fox has decided to run not one, but two episodes of New Girl every Tuesday night.
Well, that means they're bumping
new episodes of New Girl every Tuesday night.
Not waiting,
going forward.
But
starting
stop.
On April 19th, every Tuesday night on Fox, you will get not one but two brand new episodes of New Girl.
But which of the Tuesday night comedies are we not going to be seeing? Because that the whole lineup is great with your Grindr and your Grandfather and your Brooklyn Nine-Nine. What are they bumping for that extra New Girl episode?
I have no idea.
All right, I don't like it then.
But something,
like things the way they are.
Something's got to go. Well, here's the thing. They have to double up on the episodes, or else they wouldn't be able to run all of the episodes before the season finale on May 10th, because this season show didn't begin airing until January.
Well, that's poor planning.
It is poor
planning
on
their part.
But now you got a lot of New Girl to show you before the season finale.
Don't cut into my Brooklyn Nine-Nine time, though.
I would think any show has to sit down, it'd probably be Grindr, don't you think?
Yeah. Sit down.
Yeah. Because Grandfather, I think, is doing pretty well in the ratings. And I think Grindr is, too. But I think
that's a whole good night of TV right there.
That is a whole good night of TV.
Well said, Bean.
It's a whole good night.
I can see it on posters now.
How are any of us still on the radio, honestly?
I have no idea.
I mean, that's why we're heading... See, I just proved my own point. That's why clearly K-Rock is heading into the musical direction, because none of us can do this anymore.
That's very true. And speaking of The Flash, he sure helped Supergirl. Their crossover episode on Tuesday night was a big bump for Supergirl ratings, boosting her ratings 20% over the previous episode. So let's hope that helps Supergirl get off the bubble and we get a second season of that show.
When do they announce that?
I don't know. I don't know when they do.
We're
still waiting. Come on, CBS. Do the right thing.
We talked to Colin Hanks yesterday, and he still hasn't heard about his show, Life in Pieces. It was also very, very funny. So we're waiting on CBS quite a bit right now.
And don't forget to tune into my new show, The Flasher, After Flash.
Flasher sounds very good.
It only
helped.
On CW. So we'll talk all about that. Look at my junk. Today's celebrity birthdays, Jessica Jor. Is 31 years old today. I have no idea how to say her name, whether it's Soar or Zor.
Sejour.
Sejour. So I'm just going to melt them all together and say Jessica Shore is 31. Right. Our buddy Ashley Escada from CNET. She's 33 today. Happy birthday, Ash. Jack Antonoff from Fun, period, is 32 years old. Kate Micucci from Garfunkel & Oates is 36. Ewan McGregor is 45. Angus Young from AC/DC is 61 years old today. Christopher Walken turned 73. And former Vice President Al Gore is 68 today. You know, when you get a chance to interview a big, important political player like Al Gore, there's so many questions that run through your mind, things you'd like to talk about, not only about his vice presidency, but, of course, his work with environmental activism, his work in the internet, his work elevating and educating youth when it comes to social issues and politics. That's why I'm glad Kevin and Bean were sent down to talk to Vice President Al Gore. It seems like
one more question, Mr. Gore. Do you like cheese, and if so, what kind?
Cheese. Sure. Yeah, I like cheddar cheese.
Cheddar cheese.
Thank you, Mr. Vice President. Nice to talk to you.
Okay. Thank you.
See you again, sir.
Wow.
Musica, musica, musica. That's why
we deserved it.
That's why. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
It's my favorite song for people's alarm to go off during. I want them to wake up during the last 20 seconds of that Radiohead song. Hey, welcome into the Kevin and Bean Show here on a Thursday morning. Got this email. Dear Kevin and Bean, saw Dr. Drew singing the national anthem last Saturday at the Kings game. He was incredible and blew everyone away. Is there anything that man can't do? What a dick, being all perfect. Thank you, says Daniel. Isn't it funny that if you're good at too many things, all of a sudden people start to resent you and the tide turns against you? Hey, Dr. Drew.
They've always been, what a dick is sort of that's my nickname.
Well, it's great to have you on. You talked about something on the HLN show the other night that I thought was a fascinating case that has so many angles to it, and you actually had the people involved at the crux of this story on the show with you. Let's talk about Keep Lexi Home, which is a hashtag maybe people have seen on social media for the last few days. What's going on in this case, Dr. Drew?
You're right, Ben. I spoke to the foster parents of this young 6-year-old girl who had parents who were drug addicts, and she got put into the system and eventually got adopted at about age year and a half by these two lovely people who she absolutely bonded to. She considers her family, but because she's 1/64th Choctaw, Native American. She's 164th Choctaw. There is an obscure law that came out of the 70s, the decade that gave us some of the greatest cultural phenomenon of all time, the garbage bag we call the 70s. They had a law there that was intended to protect Native American culture, Native American Indian, and this law became a point of contention in the placement of this child. And she was just ripped out of this family home and taken to Utah to an obscure relative of hers, who, by the way, are not Native American, to raise her and protect her cultural heritage. It's unclear what the motivation was, but they just sort of wanted her back in that family system. And this child was profoundly traumatized. And my point in the whole interview was, for God's sakes, aren't we supposed to be protecting the welfare of the child? Isn't that really? And by the way, she's going to end up hating this culture that has destroyed her life. Mm-hmm.
All right. I have so many questions just based on the premise. Let me start by saying this. So when she was taken away from her alcohol or drug addicted parents when she was just a year and a half old, she was not put up for adoption. This other family in Santa Clarita did not adopt her. They just took her in as foster care, right?
Correct. And everyone understands that that's a potentially temporary situation. And the goal is to get people back to their biological family of origin. But it became increasingly clear that that was not going to be the case with this kid.
But didn't a court ruled 3 years ago that Lexi should go back to the family in Utah, but then the foster family was against that. So that litigation for 3 years is
right.
what kept this going.
That's right. You get into the weeds of this, and the legalities of it get almost head-spinning. It's hard to understand what's what. The only point I just wanted to make, and I keep making, is, why wasn't the welfare of the child the only concern of everybody? If the child really is bonded to this family, and by the way, at that point, the family initiated adoption proceedings. That family wanted to move from foster to adoptive parent, which, again, I'm not a foster parent. There may be ethical and, of course, legal considerations associated with that. But this child seemed as though the original abandonment trauma of being ripped out of her biological home and into this new home had been sort of essentially assuaged by this couple, and now to move her again is really going to destroy the child. I mean, that's just simply the fact. And how does Child Protective Services allow that? That's what I don't understand. Why can't we just use basic medical and psychological principles to make decisions for the child? But, Allie, your point is well taken. Yes, there was all kinds of legal wrangling that began about 3 years ago.
That just puts up a flag. Plus, the family, let's not act like the family wanted nothing to do with her. They visited her once a month for 3 years, trying to bond with her while this was all going through the courts. So, I mean, they have a point as well.
Of course they do. It's not invalid. But again, apparently there's a lot of stuff that we all are not privy to that. When I interviewed those the foster parents, they just looked at me and went, no, they didn't visit, or they weren't interested, or this was something new. It's like, don't believe what you necessarily read about these people being so involved in the child's life. And by the way, it's different family members at different times, it seems, were involved in these visitations. And so, again, my point is, great, fantastic. Why don't we have a giant family system that raises this child and have her spend her summers in Utah and her weekends with the Choctaw tribe or whatever, but she's going somewhere that's not even related to the Native American culture.
Right.
And by the way, the foster mom had more Native American blood in her than the child.
Wow. I think a lot of decisions are made not just legally, but also just in people's personal lives based on blood rather than on the person being a good person or the right person or a better person. I think too much is made of blood.
What do you mean by that? What do you mean?
Well, I get the intent of trying to keep American Indian families together. I get that. But I think there are cases where this is a case where this is her real family as far as I'm concerned. She doesn't have any memory of the Indian part of her side of her family. She doesn't know those parents at all. These people she knows and loves and is bonded with.
Exactly. And that really usually Child Protective Services allows those sorts of priorities to be what dictates their decision-making. I don't understand why that failed here. Allie, it seems like you've dug into the weeds of this, and it does get head-spinning, doesn't it, when you look at the legality?
Yeah, it's insane. And then you think, okay, she has one half-sibling that's in Utah, then another sibling lives down the street. But then you look at another story, and they don't talk about that at all. So it's there's so much about this that I think, you know, you're never going to get to the full truth because everyone's kind of trying to cover their ass on it.
It is a lot of that. And again, we all, I think everyone goes, yes, of course we want to protect that culture and protect her heritage and protect her biology if that's the priority for that family. But I don't think this is the way to do it. I don't think there's going to be a kid that's going to end up cherishing her Choctaw heritage.
Gotcha.
Because of what she's been through here. And isn't that ultimately the goal here?
Yeah.
Right.
It's very, very sad.
We'll keep our eyes open to see what happens. I know this one's not over yet. Hey, real quick before we let you go, Dr. Drew, and of course, Dr. Drew, you can hear him on with Mike Cathwood in weekday afternoons, noon to 3 on 790 KABC, and of course, the HLN show on Monday through Thursday at 4. But tonight's a big night for you on Loveline. You've seen a lot of hosts come and go throughout the years, but it's going to be real hard for you to be parting with Mike Cathwood on the radio tonight, right?
But of course, real hard. Oh, yeah, yes. I mean, yes, real hard. But listen, I'm still going to be working with him on KABC.
Yeah, you'll still see. I mean, he's still going to be coming back to fill in, so it's not like he'll never be on Loveline again. But this is tonight's the last night of him as your full-time co-host.
It is a big deal. He's been a great co-host. And as usual, we'll find somebody else on from your show to pull up to Loveline, we seem to do. But in any event, he'll continue, as I discussed just a minute ago with Dave, the King of Mexico, he'll continue to show to send us horrible pictures, as he does.
Yes.
I'll continue to see him in the afternoon. Oh, Al, you want to be on that thread?
No, I've been tricked into looking at many of them, and I will not be tricked again.
All right, Doctor. Thank you for the time. We'll look for you on Loveline tonight, sir.
Right,
bye-bye.
Thanks.
You are listening to the world-famous K-Rock on 106.7 KROQ. That was a Kevin-like mad dash for the microphone, Rob. Very impressive.
Thank you so much. Well, someone's got to pick up the slack since he passed.
He didn't pass. He's fine.
So
he will be back.
You're a
Kevin
fool.
Will be back.
You said yesterday he'd be back. You know why he's not coming back? Dead.
I don't think he's dead. I'm the guy who usually jumps to the assumption that if somebody doesn't show up for work, they're dead. But we've heard from Kevin, or at least somebody controlling Kevin's email account, that he's alive, and we expect him back any day now.
Fools.
So be fine. Fools. Hey, listen, before we get into the last Showbiz Beat, now don't get mad. You're going to want to get mad when I say what I'm about to say.
Isn't that true every time you say something?
I wouldn't bring this up if I didn't feel like I had something new to offer to the conversation, but I got an email yesterday from Kevin and Bean listener Abraham, who would like to suggest he may have found Spoon Me to Death in a TV show.
God, I know. When this thing dies down, you're going to bring it back again?
Well, you brought it back up a couple weeks ago.
No,
and we have been deluged. Okay, but you allowed it, and we have been deluged
with
all...
I can't stop people from writing in about it, but I can ignore them until it goes away.
So... there's a whole bunch of things that they always say, oh, I know what that's from. I saw that in fill in the blank. But forgive me if this has been already eliminated, but is it possible it is from an – have you heard anyone suggest it's from an episode
Life
of the
– Louis.
An animated Louis Anderson episode. And I have the clip, and I got to tell you, I don't think I've heard this before. And you tell me if this qualifies to finally end the Spoon Me to Death mystery.
What's the matter with you? You in love or something?
Yeah. You better not tell anyone or else.
Or else what? You'll spoon me to death?
That's pretty good.
That's exactly what the said. What we've said, what we talked about. But we said when we revisited that years ago, when we played that clip and talked about it.
We did.
We said that's not the major motion picture that someone claimed it was from.
So we think it's from a little watched
episode of a cartoon that nobody really knew about. So that's not the source where this person got
it. And it's not Days of Our Lives and it's not Mystery Men. So cut it out.
But it is Robin Hood Men in Tights, though, right? It is that.
I just stopped getting those emails. You did this. What's wrong with you?
Because I didn't remember us talking about Louie, and I thought, you know what? That's really close to the quote that you first initially brought up.
Yes.
But you're saying that's
not...
There's
many things that are close. There's a Days of Our Lives clip that also has it in there.
Right,
and there are. It does exist in other forms, but we've said with all of these... that's not the major motion picture this person claims to have seen that was the spark for the initial conversation.
All right. It is your best guess, and I'll just ask one question and we can
move on. Oh, my God. Unbelievable.
Is your best guess that it does not exist, it did not happen, or do you think it's still out there somewhere and it's the holy grail of movie quotes and one day we'll find it?
I don't care.
All right. Asked and answered. Time for our final look at the Showbiz Beat now. What's going on?
I can't. It's a heartbreak.
I miss Kevin so much.
So much.
I miss Kevin, too.
Why did he have to go?
Why did he have to go? People?
Why is Kevin dead and Beans alive? That shows you how unfair the world
is. Kevin is not dead. People are going to take you seriously. He's not dead. He's fine, and he will be back. I promise.
Well, you can't promise that, Bean.
All right. I think there's 50-50
tomorrow is promised to no one.
Right.
We're all just people.
I did want to touch on the fact from the last break where I heard you talking to Mr. Springsteen about the state song of New Jersey. Mm-hmm. That Ali was spot on, by the way, just spot on regarding the state song of California.
Did you like my rendition?
Your rendition, I think, needs to be recorded and distributed widely.
Thank you.
But there is a state song of California, and I was surprised that more people didn't know about it. Apparently, it was written like in 1915 or 1913, mm-hmm. something like that. It's been around for a long, long time.
By a guy with the last name of like Frankenstein or something.
I don't think.
I swear to God,
I don't believe
like
Dr. Frankenstein wrote.
I don't think it was Dr. Frankenstein. It was a lesser sibling.
But anyway, it's been around for a long time, Bean, and I'm shocked and dismayed that you didn't know the state song of California.
I did not.
You want to hear a little bit? Let's hear a little bit of the state song of California.
Yes.
I love you, California. You're the greatest state of all.
And early fall.
Not early fall.
I like early fall.
And those last few weeks of summer, I like you then too.
Here we go. Good finish.
I love your grand old ocean and I love her rugged shores.
Yeah, it goes on.
I do remember a version of that song on the State Tourism Board commercials from a few years ago, but I guess I never realized it was the official state song of the state. That was a surprise to me.
There you go.
Mm-hmm.
Mystery solved.
That mystery solved.
All mysteries are solved.
What about this one?
There are no
Earl Swan. You'll spoon me to death.
There are no other mysteries.
Yeah, shut up, dude.
The words were put to music by Abraham Franklin Frankenstein.
What?
Oh, my God. I'm so good at dumb stuff.
His name's really Frankenstein?
Abraham Franklin Frankenstein.
Wow. That's crazy.
Good night, everybody.
Songs by Young Frankenstein put that together?
Well, the lyrics were written by Francis Beatty Silverwood, a Los Angeles clavier.
The old songwriting team of Silverwood and Frankenstein. I'm Silverwood, he's Frankenstein. They had a great vaudeville act back in the day. So that name became no longer usable on marquees. All right, let's talk about show business news. James Corden.
Mm-hmm.
Karaoke carpool special that we talked about.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Big hit with the ratings. People tuned in. I guess they love that bit. Here's an interesting little tidbit, though. It picked up 4.3 million viewers, that special, which, of course, featured the Jennifer Lopez segment on it. Not huge numbers, but solid numbers. Here's the interesting part. The YouTube video of Jennifer Lopez from that special with James Corden had 4.5 million views as of last night. So 4.3 million people watched it live on television. Many more watched it on YouTube.
Yeah.
Interesting.
That's the world we live in now.
Yep, sure is.
So I guess what we're saying is no need to put it on television. Just put it on YouTube. People will find
But you enjoyed it, though. You enjoyed the show very much.
Yeah. I did enjoy it. You know, it's crazy because I had so much to do that night. I was very busy.
Uh-huh.
I had a lot of things going on, and we always talk about all the different television shows there are to watch. And I was initially going to pass it by because I simply just didn't have room in my schedule for that TV show.
Understandable, yeah.
But then it dawned on me, mm-hmm. you know, Jennifer Lopez being on the show and everything. She's a big talent, and I like her a lot. So it turns out when it came to my own personal schedule.
Could we get to a conclusion of this sentence, please?
There's always room for J-Lo!
Write a song out of that, Silverwood and Frankenstein.
That's right. I'm Silverwood. He's Frankenstein. We're Silverwood and Frankenstein. We're here to sing a song. Hamilton is the hottest ticket on Broadway, right?
Yeah, it
sure is.
Yeah. Nice way to go, racists.
What?
They just opened call auditions for mm-hmm. new performers to perform in that show on Broadway. And a lot of people are very upset. Because here's how the open call audition notice read. Non-white men and women ages 20 to 30s for Broadway and upcoming tours of Hamilton. So wow. There's a lot of whitey out there who says, oh, nice work, racists. Racist,
well,
white
all
man
of the
can't get a job. White man can't get a job on Broadway. Huh. Racists.
Huh.
But, Ralph, in their defense, all of the founding fathers of this country were African-American.
Well,
let's remember that.
That's true.
They did just hire Rory O'Malley to play King George.
Yeah, it's the only white character in the show.
So,
and thank
there.
God, thank God Rory O'Malley got
You don't
got
remember him?
Because we're all huge Rory O'Malley
he's
fans.
He's the original
we saw him with
Book
Steve
of Mormon.
Kaczynski.
He's Steve from the Kaczynski original Book of Mormon with Josh Gad.
And Roger O'Malley
I hate
were
you so much.
They played Silverwood and Frankenstein. Remember that short-lived Broadway show about those two great songwriters?
He was in the original Book of Mormon.
Okay.
It was fantastic.
Okay.
But aren't there a lot of Broadway seriously though, Ralph, aren't there a lot of Broadway shows where they hire a predominantly African American cast because that's appropriate for the play and for the material?
Yeah, of course. The show was written for and built around. Part of the gag of the show is that it's non-white people reacting
playing
to
people like Alexander Hamilton.
Right, reacting to the events of that day in a new and fresh style. That's the premise of the show. So naturally, of course, they would want to keep in pace with that. And that's what the audition was about. And for people to get upset is just ridiculous.
Stop it sounds racist.
Way. It is racist.
Right. It's like saying, it's like casting the color purple and saying, well, you know, we're not exactly looking for white people in this show. Or right. Porgy and Bess or any other show. That is based around ethnic diversity, let's say. Sure. So don't worry about it, whitey.
Calm down. Check your privilege.
Right.
Right.
Donald Trump said he would cancel that show when he was president.
Sure.
So. Hey, William Shatner's in the news. This has got to be a pain in the ass if you're Bill Shatner. There is a man named Peter Sloan who is hauling him into court claiming that William Shatner is his long-lost father. Peter Sloan is his name. Peter apparently was adopted shortly after his birth, but he went back and he did some research and located his birth mother. And he says he found out that she had an affair with William Shatner back in the late 50s. And that dalliance led to his birth. And now he wants to be known as Peter Shatner.
Dalliance.
So much so that he even went as far as to use that name for a radio show that he was hosting in Canada. And he had a Twitter handle with the same name until Bill Shatner's reps got that handle shut down. So now he's taking him to court. Because he wants Daddy's love, and he wants Daddy's approval, and he wants Daddy's $170 million.
Whoa.
That's what he wants. He's suing him for $170 million.
He wouldn't have gotten $170 million if he had been raised by William Shatner all these years.
Well, Bean, this is pain and suffering.
Oh, I see. Abandonment issues and all
yes,
that.
Yes,
yeah.
And this is defamation because Shatner refuses to acknowledge him. And there's all kinds of...
So he's butthurt.
There's all kinds of numbers attached to the $170 million.
Can anyone sue any celebrity and make them give up DNA for a test on something like this? I mean, does
That's
it take
a great
more?
Question. We need a legal expert on this show.
Yeah,
because
I just wonder.
These questions come up and we just don't have any answers for them. I do not know if you can force someone to take a DNA test. I know he's requested it and Shatner up to this point has denied that request. But I guess if it got it into the legal system and a judge allows the case to go forward, that at some point there would have to be some proof one way or the other, right?
Because that would end the question, for sure.
It would. If I was William Shatner, that's the first thing I would have done. I would have gotten some DNA testing and then said, there, now go away.
I would have gone on Maury.
Oh, it'd be great.
Yeah, right?
Good answer, too.
I'd watch that.
And I am not the father. It'd be great. Let's take a look at today's celebrity birthdays. Ashley Escate is 33 years old today.
Love
Hi, Ashley.
Her.
She's our friend from CNET, of course. Comes on to talk about gadgets and whatnot all the time. Very lovely lady. Jessica Shore celebrates her 31st birthday. Jack Antonoff is 32 years old from Fun in the Bleachers.
And the lucky guy who gets to wake up next to Lena Dunham every morning.
Right, I forgot about that.
Yep.
We got to get Jack something. We got to pitch in and get him a present or something. Kate Micucci from Garfunkel & Oates is 36. Ewan McGregor is 45. Angus Young from AC/DC. I don't know why I'm talking like this.
Not sure either.
He's 61. Former Vice President Al Gore is 68. And actor, legend, icon, Christopher Walken celebrates his 73rd birthday today. Today, gotta get a cake and put candles on it.
Sure.
Light the candles. Then blow those candles out. Celebrating birthday. Happy birthday. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you so much, Ralph. Tomorrow,
I love you, California.
The greatest state of all.
There's about a 25% chance of a monkey sighting on tomorrow's show. We'll let you know.
That's such a big liar.
Well, maybe closer to 15%, but we'll see. But we will talk to our friend RJ Bell from pregame.com in Las Vegas. If you're looking for a place to put your money for Final Four basketball action this weekend, we've got him. We're going to be calling at around 7:30 or so the comedian who will be the opening act for Kevin Amin's April Foolishness show Saturday night at the Shrine. We also have more tickets you can win on tomorrow morning's program. Ralph, you mentioned CNET. I thought Ashley liked us, but we're talking to somebody else from CNET tomorrow about the Oculus Rift.
Oh, Oculus Rift.
The plunge into virtual reality. Am I saying it wrong? Is this not Oculus?
No, Allie said that's her favorite Transformer. Oculus Rift. Oh, never mind.
You don't get it, man.
Sit down.
That's what we're talking. Also, it's Friday. That means the movie beat as well. That's all tomorrow right here on the Kevin Amin Show on K-Rock.